Guys, this phone-in interview we're about to do today is going to be the most righteous phone interview in the history of phone interviews. I'm excited for it.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. He was a high school All-American, a college All-American. He was All-Pro in the NFL. But the thing that he's most proud of is during his show in Muncie, Indiana, he made a woman in the crowd laugh so hard, she shit her pants. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee!
Don't know how you can't get jacked up to that intro. Todd McComas sitting two down from me. I appreciate you for that. And right next to me is Diggs. On my other side is Nick. He's still single, still on Tinder, still on Bumble. Probably going to pull a couple hooks whenever we're in Vegas this weekend, which we leave today. Behind the ones and twos is Hoff. Hoff, how's it going?
Doing well, man. Glad to be here.
Great, great, great. Thursday, March 23rd. Thank you so much for listening to the Pat McAfee Show. I am Pat McAfee. This podcast is doing a lot better than any of us could have expected.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Whenever I made the jump to Barstool, we had all these plans and visions for all these shows we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this show. We're going to do Beat Pat McAfee. We're going to do Live at 5. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And then this podcast hops on board, and I never really got into a flow of doing a podcast, and I had no idea the power of this. And I want to let you know, the people that are listening, we absolutely love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, a lot of people are listening. Everything I say, I have to be careful now. There's an altitude conversation we had yesterday that Dave Chappelle talked about, that whenever you get to a certain altitude, you got to watch what you say because everybody is listening, ready to judge. With that being said, everything I said about Chris Angel yesterday was 100% true. So. Get off my dick about it on Twitter if you're Chris Angel diehard.
Well, here's one thing, Pat. Like, you may never come back from Vegas. You may not survive Vegas.
We're leaving today, by the way. For those of you who don't know, if you've been living under a rock and don't know anything about us, Bud Light Busters, I drafted Xavier, which was the only 9 seed or lower to make it to the Sweet 16. So Bud Light is paying for me to go to Vegas. Somehow, my two friends from Pittsburgh hopped in on this trip. Todd is the only one not going because he has to hold down the fort here with a lot of people. But you're 100% right. I might die.
Yeah.
This might be a death.
And that being the case, I think we should, for the sake of the listeners, tell everybody how retirement's going so far.
Hmm.
For you personally, what's it like to know you're not going back to another NFL season and doing instead what you're doing now?
It's a really interesting question because the first thing I did was get an Adderall prescription. And it's amazing. I think I probably should have been on this my whole life. There's a reason this thing is banned. I've tweeted about this. There's an obvious reason why Adderall is banned. But it's been a fantastic transition. And I went into the Colts office yesterday because I had to sign my official retirement paper with our team, Dan Emerson, lead counsel of the Indianapolis Colts, sent me a text, was like, hey, did you ever officially retire? And I was like, I sent him a text back, legit, I have no fucking idea how to do that. I've talked to 5 people, I have no clue how to do that. He was like, well, come in, we'll just have you sign something, you're good. It'll free up a roster spot for us, it'll get you off of all the bullshit, and then you can collect all your benefits too. I was like, oh yeah, that's probably something I didn't really think about much, but I appreciate you.
Did it make it more real when you actually signed the paper?
So I went in, it was just a letter, basically from the team stating that I was retiring and I had to sign it. And it was really cool to get back in the building, but I went and chatted with Chris Ballard, the new GM, for 40 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. He wanted to see me. So he heard I was coming in. Chris Ballard was like, make sure he comes through my office. He listens to the show.
Oh, really?
That's phenomenal.
He's a Barstool fan.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he said he shed a little tear when Larry died and Larry too passed away. Like, he was a very cool guy. And because he called me the day I retired and left me a voicemail. I had no idea who he was. He's from Houston. He has a Houston phone number. We were in Houston for the Super Bowl. I thought it was an Uber driver calling me. Didn't answer. Left a voicemail, and it was like the most genuine thing ever. And then when I got a chance to talk to him yesterday, the Colts are in good hands. Really, really good ants.
So everything he was saying as far as what he has planned for the future of the Colts was right on board with what you were thinking.
I loved everything he was saying. The way he goes about his business, the way he handles his business. He's offering a lot of small contracts, kind of like a prove-it type contract because they're trying to rebuild a team right now. Mm. It was a great conversation. Just everything he said, he seemed like such a genuine good guy, which is what Indiana will love him. Right. Indiana will absolutely love this guy. He's going to come on our show in May after the draft. He said he wants to come on and he'll come chat. But he said, before you retired, I was telling people, just let me talk to you. Let me tell you that the culture in this building is going to be a little bit different. I wanted you to know that, hey, maybe your mind's made up. Maybe you're ready to go do what you want to do. And I'm happy you found what you love doing. And this podcast is amazing. I listen. But I wanted to let you know that if you ever want to come back and kick for us, well, goddamn, I've seen your film. You can do it anytime you want. I was like, well, I appreciate that greatly. I'm really enjoying retirement, but I appreciate that. Got a chance to see Chuck. Got a chance to talk to a lot of the people that worked in that building that I've had a lot of relationships with. It was the first time since the retirement I really went back in there. It was just awesome to kind of see them.
A little emotional?
No, I was about to say, when I was walking through there, I was very much like yeah.
I'm
like,
fine with this.
Yeah, I'm cool with this. Like, I'm cool with what's going on. I'm cool with what's going on. Pete Ward, who's the head guy for the Colts right underneath Jim Irsay. He turned the corner and he's always in a suit. He goes, You got a visitor's badge on? Huh? I go, hey, Pete, what's up, man? He goes, you look good. I go, thanks. He said, you look happy too. I was like, I am, man. I am very happy. And everybody seems very happy for me over there and genuinely excited for everything I'm about to do. So I feel good. Retirement feels really good. And there's a lot of people, Dan Patrick yesterday or 2 days ago when I went on his show, he said that he's betting that I'm going to go back and play. Dan Patrick said that, or Dan Dockich said I'm going to play back. And who knows what's going to happen, really. But I love what I'm doing right now. I absolutely love hanging out with my friends. I love building a business, which is what we're doing. We're building an empire together. I love calling the shots for who's going to fuck up my life and who's not going to fuck up my life, as opposed to somebody else. I enjoy these business meetings we're a part of, making decisions. Like, I this is something that I've looked forward to basically since I wanted to join the Illuminati when I was 12. This is the type of thing that I wanted to do. So I've been really enjoying this. So it's a lot of fun. But getting in that building was really cool for me. It was cool to chat with everybody. Really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, you've trained. Okay. So you've been playing sports and training for sports since you were how old?
Three.
3 years old.
Yeah, 3 years old, yeah.
And then, boom, that's over. But you've always had this monster creeping They're sitting on your shoulder the whole time, this comedy monster that was always in your brain, this creative person. How does it feel to finally get that out?
Well, you know, it's been interesting because this whole podcasting thing is I get a chance to talk about everything. And I'm a news junkie. People that don't know that, like the reason why I fell in love with Twitter so much is because if you follow the right people, you know what's going on everywhere before everybody else. I follow people in Russia, Korea. I follow people everywhere. So I just know everything that's happening. And the ability to give my opinion on shit is big for me. Like every time I'd send out a tweet and I get people back, like, stay in your lane, kick. Like, I got so sick of that. And I was like, oh, why are you focused on tweeting instead of kicking? Like, I'm laying in my bed tweeting right now. Like, what the fuck do you want me to get off my head? That type of shit, it's good to not deal with anymore. But it's cool to kind of get your opinion out there. And even if everybody doesn't agree with me, at least it's a conversation starter. And I'm giving a different perspective on things. It's just been, it's really cool. A lot of fun.
If you had to define a flavor, let everybody know what your plan is. Because there's interviews that take place in the show, at least 2 out of 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Tell them what's going to be different about this show, what they will learn about the people through these interviews compared to an ESPN interview or something like that.
Well, I think anybody that's listened to our interviews thus far, whether it's Arian Foster or Edgerrin James or the one that's coming today, we have not filmed or recorded yet, but it's going to be incredible. It's whenever you're an athlete or somebody that's in the spotlight, you automatically put your guard up for the media because at any given time, whether it's the person interviewing, it might not be the person interviewing. So this person working at ESPN that's interviewing me, they're looking out for my best interest. But that clip is getting passed around all of ESPN. And any douchebag behind the scenes can flip anything you say and turn it into something immediately. The difference with my conversations with them and with these guys who have become my friends, whether it's through partying back in the day or whether it's just mutual respect for how we – like I get a chance – I got John Daly's contact information yesterday.
Right.
And he's going to be on this show. And our conversation is just going to be a lot different because there's no guard, there's no wall. And I'm not looking to catch anybody in anything. I just want to humanize people. Because mm-hmm. I think the big difference between a conversation about life instead of a conversation about events. So, like, when you get interviewed on ESPN, there's always something that happened that they want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So, like Edgerrin James said, he said they always want to bring in negativity or kind of flip something that isn't about you. For me, I just want to have a conversation about life so you can see that this is a human who just so happens to be really fucking good at said sport, said entertainment thing, anything like that.
Right.
And I think that'll be our big difference because you might be really good at advertising or marketing or sales or tech or IT. I just so happen to be really good at kicking a fucking football. It just so happens that what I was really fucking good at made me a lot of money and put me in a spotlight. Comedians are really funny, so they get put in that. Everybody has a special talent. It's just whether or not your talent gets spotlighted by other people. And that's kind of what I want to do. I kind of just want to humanize people and let people know that, yeah, they're superstars who are making immense amounts of cash, but they're humans.
Right.
There's people who fuck up. Like, we'll probably have Ray Rice on the show at some point. I got a chance to party with him years ago before everything happened. He fucked up bad, did a horrible, horrible thing. Mm-hmm. Horrible, horrible thing. But a lot of humans do horrible, horrible things. And I won't ever stick up for what he did, ever. But it'll be cool to kind of talk to him about how he's trying to bounce back from that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the difference between our show and everybody else's show, I think. And I think I think people will continue to enjoy it.
Yeah. Well,
That's what I think.
Well, and I would just assume you having been in the NFL for 8 years, you've just been chomping at the bit to be interviewed that way yourself. And that's probably – and now you're getting to do that for everyone.
Well, when I would sit in there, and every single time the media would come into our locker room, nobody would interview me, right? So the media would not interview. They'd do the same round of interviews. They go to Andrew's locker. He would talk for 10 minutes. They go to somebody else's locker, and then they go to either T.Y.'s or somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you guys are missing out on all the best stories in this whole fucking room, right? You're missing out. Like, Darius Butler very rarely got interviewed. That guy's a superstar. They don't even know it. Funny guy. We had him on a show. Yeah. He's a funny guy. The media doesn't even know it because they're just looking for sound bites from certain people. I'm excited to kind of put people's stories and personalities kind of on a stage and let them work.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated with the player in any sport who just manages to have a career, but you don't see them on TV. You know, no one's talking about them, but they're there fulfilling their role, and they're a success story. They're helping their team
If you make it to the NFL, you're very talented at what you do. If you stay in the NFL, you're very consistently talented at what you do. And all those guys are just humans. And it'll be cool to chat with them. And that's kind of the object of this whole thing.
Yeah, no one's telling their story.
I don't want to tell their story. I don't want to, that's like a 30 for 30 type thing. We want to tell their story. I want them to just
have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. I just want to have a conversation with them. It's not really an interview. It's just a conversation. And whatever you learn from it, you learn from it. And I've been learning a lot about people. Like, who would have known Edgerrin James takes in the whole community down there and takes care of them, and he has a strip club.
Literally the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's two such polar opposite things. And like whenever we get T.O. on here, I can't wait to talk to him about just a conversation, basically. And with the big thing about podcasts, you don't have to deal with the FCC, right? So you don't have any fucking rules. We have no rules here, and we have no time restraints. So if you only have a 5-minute spot for T.O., mm-hmm. like the interviewer has no chance because you're like, well, I only got 5 minutes. So I want this question, this question, this question. We're out because they need to get the thing. For us, it's just kind of like laissez-faire. If we lead into something, we lead into something. If we get there, we don't. It's just kind of like we got all the free time in the world. And I think that's what podcasts is really. I think it's really opened my eyes to how awesome this whole thing could be. And that's whenever we went to Barstool, when I went to Barstool, I had all these ideas and visions of what we're going to do. I had no idea how podcasting would be this awesome and be this powerful. And I think that's kind of what we're all learning slowly here and kind of figuring it out as we go.
It's great, man. We're just sitting here talking.
Just bullshitting. Sober. I mean, we're sober bullshitting. But this would be a conversation that would happen if we were drunk or sober. And now that we're recording,
we could do an episode drunk. That'd be fun.
I don't know if I'd ever do it. I don't know if I'd ever do it. Well, I mean, I do stand-up drunk.
Yeah.
I drink a bottle of wine every single time on stage. It's kind of a challenge to me.
Yeah.
If I can finish the bottle of wine before the end of the show. And for a little tip, if you come to my show, if the bottle of wine is getting low, that this shit's almost over. Just know that. That bottle of wine might as well be your hourglass for that show. And when that thing's getting down, it's almost over. But I think this has been a really cool transition, man. I don't know if there's – I didn't stop. So as soon as the season ended, I went right into this. I went right into Barstool. Mm-hmm. And you would think – because the season is a grind. No matter what your position is, it's 7 days a week. Groundhog's Day for six fucking months, just boom, boom. And if you're not on a winning team, it's just miserable every day. Not every day, but it's a fucking groundhog day, just like every other job. That's exactly what it is. But it's 7 days in a row instead of five and two. And usually that whenever you get your first break for off season, you're real excited. You're like, finally, I get to breathe, get to leave my house here in Indiana, get to go do something. And we went right into this, and I've been enjoying every fucking minute of it. I haven't left Indiana much, but I've been enjoying. Until we go to fucking Vegas today. Dude, God damn it. I don't
dude, my body is already rejecting me. Like, I couldn't sleep last night.
Because it knows it's going to Vegas. Yeah.
It's getting prepared.
No, it's not. It's not happy.
Yeah. I had the shits last night.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, my body's like, meh, this is on you, dude.
I slept like shit. It's terrible.
How excited? I feel great.
Yeah, I'm Nick's sure ready you do. To go. Yeah. God damn it.
Fucking Club Nick.
Nick just made a big move on Twitter. What's your new handle, Nick?
At Nick Miraldo.
Oh, you got to feel good about that.
Todd bullied me into it for
he
days.
He fought it for so long. I'm like, why don't you just use your first and last name? No, I'm going to use my last name and my four-digit PIN number from eight.
We're trying to get better at this, though.
Yeah.
We are trying to get – like, I read up on this whole podcasting thing and this radio platform and all that bullshit. We're trying to get better at it. I'm trying to get better at it. I want to be really good at this so we can take care of everybody. Plus, I think the world deserves to hear this perspective. In a world full of negativity, a positive conversation is something that is welcomed. And I think there's a lot of podcasts that do that. But with my platform and my connects, I think these are conversations that people enjoy and they deserve to hear. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to give it to them. Excited to give it to them. And if it's at Nick Miraldo or at Miraldo 412, I think it's smarter to be at Nick Miraldo. But I think you should follow him.
What's done is done.
Yeah.
It's done and over with.
It's done.
You moved on. You made the move, Nick. We're proud of you.
I like it.
So to backtrack for a second, you were talking about the power of the conversation here. And this is one thing that always kind of baffled me was after some of your comedy shows, the first couple nights you did them, you opened it up to like a VIP afterwards.
Yeah.
And did like a little Q&A.
Yeah.
No one wanted to do the Q&A. All the people that were there only wanted a selfie with you.
Yeah, nobody wanted to talk.
Mind-boggling to me. Is here you have a chance to meet someone you paid money to go listen to talk.
You just heard me tell stories for 90 minutes.
And you have a chance to ask him any single thing you want, and all they cared about was taking a picture.
Oh, they wanted was a selfie, man.
Nerds.
No, I wanted the VIP, because people were paying. So the way the business works is, and I've learned this quickly, so I am Floyd Mayweather whenever I do comedy. I rent out the theater. I sell the tickets. I promote the show. It's the best way to make money. It's you betting on yourself that you're going to sell tickets. Yeah. But it's kind of the only way I've ever imagined.
You're going to take more of the risk than the average comedian, but on the back end, it pays off more.
The business of it could do really well. Right. And the way you make money, I kind of did some studying on this, is you want your crowd in there. So the crowd that you want in there is the blue-collar crowd, the laughers, the guys are going to have a good time, the women are going to have a good time, the people are going to drink, they're going to laugh, they're going to give and take with you when you're on stage. But you want to make money, too, obviously, because you have to pay back the rental fee of the fucking theater.
Right.
So you make that money off the VIP people, who an extra $25, $30 on their tickets is nothing, because they're going to buy the tickets anyways, right? Uh-huh. So if I'm going to go, like, I'm going to go to that Impractical Jokers show, I will pay, whether it's $75 or $100, I'm going to pay for that, because I have more money in my pocket. But to, like, my mom and dad and anybody else who's big in my demographic, if it's from $25 to $50, they're not going to make that jump. So you keep that at a good price so people can get in. Then you make your money off the VIP people. And for those VIP people who are paying a lot of money to get in, I wanted to make it like a moment. Like I didn't want it to just be a selfie and leave. Like I wanted to meet, chat with them, talk with them, hang out with them. And it just didn't work. It just didn't work. Like we elevated the stage there because they were in the orchestra pit. Mm-hmm. We lifted up the orchestra pit, had them all sit on chairs. I was on like a bar stool right in front of them. And we're just going to have a Q&A with like these 50 people. Nobody wanted it. They were like, didn't anyone talk to me? They're like, we paid a bunch of money for this ticket. We want a picture. We're going to get the fuck out of here, monkey. You just made us dance. And it was so interesting to me. It was so interesting. But whenever you come to one of my shows, I want you to know that as soon as you walk in to the time you leave, you're gonna have the best night of your life.
I'm gonna tell you this right now, and it's evolved even to Pat. If you haven't seen, most people listen to this know, but if you haven't, Pat is kind of a phenom comic. I'll say this as a comedian, that's been in the game for a little bit. Very few people can just come out of the box as good at comedy as he was originally, but it's even evolved now. He's one of the best storytellers in the game. I don't care what you say, I'm his friend, whatever. Fuck yourself. Listen to it. The proof is in the pudding. And now it's evolved though too to where it's an event beyond stand up comedy. He loves to surprise you with shit. You don't know what's going to happen on that stage or who's going to show up.
It's a party. It's a night that is a complete party, and I have surprise guests pop in. That's like my favorite thing is whenever, because I want. Nowadays, nothing is, what's that called? There's a word. Nothing is sacred anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything leaks. Every single thing leaks. Mm-hmm. And when you come to my show, I want to make sure nobody has a fucking clue who's going to walk on that stage. Nobody has a clue. If I'm just in the middle of telling a story and I go, well, you know what? Coming onto the stage now to join me is blah, blah, blah. And insert gigantic name that you had no idea was going to show up.
Right.
Like that moment for me is gigantic because I'm giving people who were willing to spend their hard-earned money on me another moment where they're like, holy fuck, last night, blah, 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 came on the stage. We got a chance to see this person for free. Now, you got to pay those people to come.
Yeah, sure.
But that's part of it all, right? If you give people a good show, they'll come back. And that's kind of the big part of it all.
Mm-hmm. Todd, do you remember the Kokomo show?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
best night of my life.
It was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. Pat brought out Coach Pagano, who got a bigger ovation than Pat.
Yeah, he did. Coach Pagano got a gigantic.
That's how big a guest.
And
you get.
And warranted.
And warranted.
Completely Absolutely. Warranted for that standing up.
Absolutely.
Nobody had a clue that Chuck Pagano was going to walk on that stage. Nope. It was right after training camp before our season. Kokomo had a bunch of tornadoes come through them for the second time in 5 years. Same neighborhoods got wiped out. So we did a fundraiser for them. We raised $150,000 for them, I think, in one night, which was gigantic.
Yeah.
But I was like, Chuck, what's going on, man? He's like, what's up, Coach? I'm like, you want to come to my show tonight? And he said, absolutely. Is there a drink share? Are we having a good time? I was like, I'll be drinking. Yeah, you don't have to drink. He said, I'll have a couple wines with the wife, maybe, huh? Can I bring the wife? I said, absolutely. He goes, all right. He showed up, dressed up. He looked straight out of The Godfather. His fucking ass, the way he dresses is so fucking. He's got Gucci shoes on. The guy is hilarious, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, what am I doing? I said, you're going to come out. You're going to punch this bag. You're going to do some other stuff. You're going to talk about that, and then you're going to get out. People are going to love seeing you. It won't be that much time. He goes, no, I want to hang out. Yeah, I want to shoot. I was like, all right, sounds good. And then when I brought him out, that place went nuts. They erupted.
I've never heard that kind of roar.
I've seen everyone up to Seinfeld, and Seinfeld did not get that kind of applause in that same building.
Well, it was because it was a mixture of they love him,
surprise,
but the surprise. They were like, oh my God, what did you just do?
Yeah, it's sacred. It's absolutely sacred. Chuck Pagano did a moonwalk.
He did a one-handed push-up.
One-handed push-up, a moonwalk. He punched that little punching bag softer than anybody in the history of the world, which he probably still feels bad about. But those are the types of things. Like I really just want to have fun. Like that's Edrin James talks about just living his life and create the life you want to live. That's really all I want to do. But I want to do it in an entertainment fashion.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel myself like as much as some people do. Like I'm completely okay with having a very funny person on my show. Somebody even funnier than I. Like Todd goes on my show. I think Todd's funnier than I am. I just want to You are. I just want to give people a show. That's all I give a fuck. I just want to give people a good show. That's what this podcast. I just want to give people a good listen. Give you a perspective you've heard. If you spend money on a ticket for one of our shows, I just want to give you a good show. I just want you to party with us. I want you to have a good time with us. And I think that variety show idea is something we should continue to do.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. There's no show like it.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. And for us, I mean, we just get to drink. Watch incredibly talented people. Like, there were some people we brought out for that Kokomo show that I was excited to watch.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't wait to watch this guy. I can't wait to watch him. I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea how good he's going to be. I know he's been a pain in the fucking ass dealing with that magician, man. That fucking magician. He was a pain in the ass to deal with, but he was talented.
Yeah. And everything we've been talking about is the fun side of what's going on with your new transition career-wise and all that stuff. But people are also going to realize, too, you are – a full-fledged businessman now, and that part's a little scary. You're having to protect yourself more and surround yourself with good people. With the there's more accounting.
Workhorse.
There's all these things you got to protect yourself legally. So
I almost got arrested 2 weeks ago.
You need a good. You got to have all these legal people.
Need my accountant to step the fuck up, Phil.
Yeah, and I will say this. Trouble? Here's my, like. You really have to protect yourself legally, and it's very important to get the right attorney on board. And you know who the best attorney is ever of all time.
Well, I've been trying to figure that out, actually, but I think you have an answer for me. Don't
Better
you?
Call Saul is back. Follow Jimmy McGill's devolution from small-time attorney to Breaking Bad Saul Goodman on Better Call Saul. The series takes place roughly 5 years before Saul Goodman meets Walter White.
Oh,
5 years before he meets Walter
little
White.
Build up.
Saul
little prequel.
Is known as Jimmy McGill. Jimmy is a more or less law-abiding, small-time attorney hustling to champion his underdog clients, build his practice, and somehow make a name for himself. Season 3, this is season 3, also sees the return of familiar Breaking Bad characters and settings. Things are getting bad, guys. They're getting bad. Well, Gus is firing back. This is important. Gus is coming back. You remember Gus?
Gus Fring.
Yeah, yeah, I remember Gus.
Yeah, he owns the Los Pollos chain. Also, drug lord.
It's Los Pollos.
Pollos.
Fans Spanish. Of Breaking Bad recall that Gus and Hector are enemies. How will the Mike Hector Gus triangle play out? Better Call Saul premieres Monday, April 10th at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central, only on AMC.
When is that again?
It's Monday, April 10th at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central, only on AMC. I love AMC, by the way.
Great.
Their shows rock. And this is one of the better shows. Have you Better Call Saul? It's awesome.
It's the best show. Yeah, they're paying us to tell.
I hope they bring back Bill Burr's character. Bill Burr was amazing in Breaking Bad. Good.
Bill Burr is amazing in everything
he
does. But Better Call Saul, what a show.
What a show.
I love that show. I would use that character, though. Like, in real life, he's the guy to call.
Oh, he's the attorney you want. If you're in trouble, because he gets shit done. He's got Mike. Mike will fix some shit for you, the ex-cop.
Oh, that's that old white guy?
We need a fixer.
Yeah.
I am the fixer.
A Ray Donovan.
We need a Ray Donovan.
We need a Ray Donovan.
I don't think we do, because we're not going to get into any of those situations.
I know, you don't know.
We're heading to Vegas. This Vegas trip should be dumb.
Yeah.
I've never been in a sports book.
It's going to be a good time. You're going to see a lot of people cheering. I want tears from some people.
Yeah. Why are you such a fucking tear? Like, you hate the Northwestern kid for crying.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to really enjoy, like, the misery of some people.
Oh, man. It doesn't get better.
You're the worst.
I do too, but not in that setting.
God.
No, not in that setting. Not in a sports book. That's just like the lowest depths of sadness in there sometimes.
That's their fault.
There's so much. If you work in a casino,
pick a better game.
You see it all. You see people at I worked in a casino for 13 months for the state police as a gaming agent. My first 13 months on the department. And you watch.
What? You worked in a casino?
Yeah, in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. No, it's now, I think it was the Argosy at one time, but now it's.
What did you do? Did you catch anything?
Well, they didn't have gaming agents yet. They didn't have the gaming commission for Indiana yet, so they used troopers. I mean, new troopers that wanted to go out and do police work instead of sit in this stupid fucking boat all day. But
it's not a stupid boat. It's a casino. I have some respect. That's where the American dream can come true, Todd.
And end. I see.
That's like one of my favorite commercials of all time was the guy who came out of the casino and he missed his son's birthday party. And I laughed so hard.
Oh, you're the worst. I'm assuming when you were working at the gaming casino that you saw a bunch of shit, right?
I watched a heart surgeon lose his entire practice. This dude was here. He was there every day.
That's his fault, though, right? I don't feel bad
for
that guy.
Totally his fault.
You know what time it is, though, I think? Segwaying into that? Hit the fucking music. We got music.
Behind the badge.
Shout out DJ Lemmy Vice for that majestic intro.
How good was that?
Hey.
Jeez, that guy's amazing.
He's really talented.
I'm excited for this story because I haven't heard it yet.
It's Thursday. That means here on the Pat McAfee Show, we go behind the badge. We were very fortunate to have a 20-year police vet that retired to join Barstool. Interesting decision. But we get to hear stories from behind the badge. Tom McComas, take it away, buddy.
All right. This is a shorter one, but it's a good story. So my favorite story is about my buddy Mitch. Was my partner at the time. It's a fugitive.
Are you? Does he know story. You use his name? Yes.
Okay. I told him. Hey, I tell all of them. Hey, you're fair game.
Mitch comes in.
Yeah. So Mitch, he and I get partnered up. We go after this fugitive. We track him down to this apartment, and he's in there, his girlfriend's apartment, and we have all these sheriffs, their warrant team with us. So we're knocking on the door. We got the place surrounded. We see the dude open the blinds in the back and look out, shuts the blinds, turns off the lights. It goes quiet. Like, okay, like we're just going to go
I do that now. With what's that religious group that comes by? The Mormons? Yeah. And the other
The Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, I think they're so dumb, though. They believe that I'm not there. Anyways, go on. What's this guy do?
So we're out front, and these sheriff's guys are just knocking on the door. Open up. We know you're in there. So finally, we did after for like an hour, and I was looking at Mitch. I'm like, Jesus Christ, let's just do something, man. So Mitch goes up, I got it. So he goes up and he knocks on the door real hard. This cop knocking, he's like, Katrina, if you believe that your life is in danger and you need us to kick this door in and come in and rescue you, stay completely silent. And then we hear from inside, this dude's voice goes, oh, man, that's fucked up.
So you kick in the door, you open
yeah,
it.
Yeah, then we can go in because he just went, yeah. Oh, he's in there. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
Best little trick I've ever seen.
So yeah. you guys use any... I mean, that's
any means necessary.
That's mental warfare right there with a criminal.
This is being smart, right?
What did that guy do? Something horrible?
Yeah, I think he was wanted for armed robbery, I think, yeah.
Bad person.
We only went after bad. On that, when I was with that unit, we only went after bad people.
Now, who teaches you guys the cop knock? Because everybody knows what a cop knock is. It's almost like, oh, by the way, what you just heard from Todd McComas, what?
Behind the band.
Down with that shit.
Doesn't that make you just want to go out and catch bad guys?
Yeah, I think we should.
No, we're on the other side. Yeah.
I think we should do like a little thing where we get let loose in the city or in the woods and see if Todd could find us.
I've been trying to do that for years.
I would love to do that.
You know, there's a place you can do that where they shut down there's a deserted city.
What?
I want this so bad.
Where is this?
I think it's out in Arizona. And it's like you run away from the cops. Like you try to get away for like 30 minutes.
That's phenomenal.
Let's go do that.
I'm all in on that. Yeah. I saw it on TV one time, so it has to be real.
Oh, and we could get paintball guns and shit.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we get simunition guns. They're even better.
What?
They're more like real guns.
No. What? Yeah. Who's shooting who?
Yeah. We'll be running from the cops. So maybe we can shoot back.
I like this a lot. Yeah. So we
have to be armed.
We're four drug lords.
Yes.
Right.
That were somehow in a meeting together.
Mm-hmm.
And your ex-peers rolled up on us.
Yes.
We're out.
Oh, yeah.
30 minutes.
I just went from 6 to midnight.
See how good they are. And it'd be good for them to practice their skills.
Yeah, that's how we'll
against pretty trained tactical.
Yeah, tactical digs.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'll do.
We got Pat's dead-eye shot.
I can shoot.
We got Nick, give zero fucks about anything.
None.
Yeah, you can wild catch guard. Me. You can wild catch guard. Me if you want. Whatever. I ain't saying shit, though. Know that. Can we go to court and everything? Can we do the whole process?
You'd like to be arraigned?
As realistic as possible.
I would like to represent myself in court at least once.
That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, I do. So do you know this? I had to. Yeah, I do. So my county that I live in currently, I have to pay them to put a security system in my house.
What?
I had to pay them $25 to put a security system in my house.
What? Like a fee?
Yeah, it was a fee for me to put a security system in my fucking house. I had to pay them $25. You had to get a permit for it or a lease.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
I don't blame you.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Why am I paying you to protect me?
Yeah.
Like me protect me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they wanted me to go to court.
It's like a kickback.
They didn't want me to go to court because I didn't pay it for like a couple of years. So this was built up. Bye, bye, bye. Mm. You are now wanted in court. I was so excited. I was like, yep, I am coming. And McCafferty, Patrick McCafferty is who they warranted in my house, in my mailbox. Patrick McCafferty has been cited to go to court for this fine, which was at like $85 now because the $25 is compounded. And I was so excited to represent myself. And then once they heard, I started making a mockery of it. I think on Bob and Tom, I told a story about it. They dropped it. They completely dropped it. I was like, God damn it. That was my time. I want to go into court and represent myself. Like when I got arrested October 20th, 2010, I wanted to represent myself bad, but Jim Boyle showed up, who's
represented
Tyson and all this shit.
That's so, that's like homeowners associations. That's the biggest bullshit racket.
My dad is going to fist fight a homeowners association. It's awesome. My dad, we grew up in Pittsburgh, no homeowners association.
Right.
We just live in a street. Mm-hmm. That's all you live on. You live on a street. Whatever the fuck we're going to do, we do. I bought my dad a house, my mom and dad a house out here. They moved in. Unbeknownst to me, there was a homeowners association. I did not know because I would not have put my dad in this neighborhood with a homeowners association.
Sure.
First thing my dad does, he's got two dogs. What's he do? Builds a fence. First weekend in there. Mm-hmm. Puts a fence up himself. Chain link. Black one. Boom, 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 boom. What shows up on the door next morning? You have to get that okayed through me or through us to build a fence.
Well, I bet Tim loved that.
Oh.
Who are you? I built this fucking fence myself, put it up myself. Why do I have to get a fucking okay from HOA? I said, Homeowners Association. I said, Dad, Homeowners Association, Tim. He goes, what the fuck's a homeowners association? I said, it's basically like a little mafia in your community that you have to pay off so they can protect you and whatever. He said, do they cut my grass? No. Do they do my landscaping? No. Do they build my fence? Fucking then what do they do for me? I said, honestly, I have no idea. He goes, okay. Well, I ain't paying them any fucking attention. And I go, that's good. They're not going to kick you out, whatever. So he didn't pay attention to him, whatever. Comes through fall, his first fall. Leaves are falling. Sticks are falling off of trees. Yeah. He got cited for having too many sticks in his front yard. Okay? Too many sticks in his front yard. So my dad shows up at the next HOA meeting. He goes, well, I got a tree in my fucking yard. What am I supposed to do? That's the biggest stick there is. Everybody has a giant stick in their fucking, there's a tree in everybody's yard. There's a giant stick. If you look at what a fucking tree is, that's a big stick. How come all these other sticks are they said, sir, your broken limbs are down. Broken limb. They were twigs. They're fucking twigs. What do you want me to do? They're like, well, you just need to pick them up and collect them in a bundle and just kind of get them out of the visual area. My dad goes, I ain't collecting shit. And you ain't collecting shit from me either. And my dad right now, him and the HOA are in a bad spot. Bad, bad spot. But it's almost, I'm happy it's happening because they can't do shit to him.
Yeah.
We bought the house.
What happened when he had the U-Haul parked in the driveway or whatever it was?
Oh, everything that happens. He moves in. So they move from Pittsburgh. And my dad's a former truck driver mover. That's what he did. He moved for a living. So anytime I need to move something, if I hire somebody out, my dad goes on this big pussy rant because that's what he did for a living. I remember I used to move. You know what I did? I drove an 18-wheeler right through fucking Manhattan. I packed up a whole fucking building, moved them all the way to L.A., moved every single piece myself before any technology could lift them up, and you can't move your little fucking apartment, you pussy? I go, oh, my God, Dad, right? So my dad goes on this big rant. So he got a U-Haul truck, moved from Pittsburgh to Indianapolis. Moved in. He was going to take the U-Haul truck back on Monday. They moved on Friday. So through the weekend, he was going to unload stuff. The U-Haul truck was in his driveway through the weekend. Yeah. What happens?
HOA. HOA letter.
Not happy. HOA. You can't have a U-Haul truck. It's disturbing to the eye, blah, blah, blah. Curb appeal. You can't have it. My dad's like, how the fuck am I supposed to move in to this fucking house without a moving truck?
I like when they said they got a complaint from somebody that they wouldn't. He's like, why'd you give me their information? I like to go thank them.
That was for the sticks.
For keeping an eye on the neighborhood.
That was for the sticks. That was for the sticks. Yeah. When the sticks were like his third or fourth running with this HOA. And he was like, you know what? Before I come to your little meeting, why don't you tell me who's got such a good eye on my yard? Because I want to thank them because I've never had a landscape guy, and I feel like I have a landscape guy. They're like, sir, these are all anonymous. And he's been snooping around trying to figure out who's watching him. I love it. Him and the HOA is one of my favorite relationships.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
He gets along with about two of his neighbors. He has about seven of them. Oh, I put him in the wrong spot. I put him in the wrong spot. He's on a pond, though, so he gets to fish. His dogs enjoy it.
Yeah.
But he's going to get kicked out of there before this thing's all done.
I would love to see them try to do that.
Oh, my God. My mom is always in the background like, I told you to pick up the sticks, dickhead. Just always. My mom is always just chiming in. I told him not to do that, sir. My dad's like, don't pay these people any fucking respect. I want my dad to run for president of that hoa.
That would be so awesome.
For those of you that don't know or have never seen any of my stand-ups, my father is one of the most epic humans to ever live.
Yeah, he's amazing.
You're talking about just the standard blue-collar American man who gives no fucks about anybody or anything, just doesn't care. Whatever you say, he doesn't care. He's not a big talker. If he doesn't know you, he will not talk to you. It's just very quiet. But once he gets comfortable around a group of people, he is righteous.
He is the perfect sitcom dad. Like, if
why don't we make we should make dad. A yeah. we should make a sitcom
oh, yeah.
about Tim my oh, family my God, why don't yeah. we do that
yeah
your Meet mom's great too your mom doesn't get enough credit
my mom yeah.
when I walked in on St. Patty's Day with the Snapchat going because Diggs and I took over I was trying to get a shot of your dad. And I kept your mom out of it, but I hear her going, get that thing the fuck away from me.
Sealed Team Sal.
Sal Team 6.
I got one of those pitchers of Long Island iced teas.
Yeah.
And it took me like 18 minutes to drink because it's a fucking pitcher of Long Island iced tea. She called me a pussy about 7 times.
The McAfee's, people wonder why I got into comedy. My whole life is comedy.
I was like, Sal, do you realize what I'm drinking here?
Yeah, she doesn't care.
No.
No, she does not care. I was asked in fifth grade to bring in my favorite recipe that my mom makes. So I go home. I go, Mom, our fifth grade class wants to put together a cookbook with all of her mother's recipes. Could you please tell me a recipe I can take in? Have you ever seen me cook anything? No. Tell them, take cereal, a fucking bowl, some milk, and you have perfect breakfast, lunch, and dinner right there with many different varieties. I go, all right, sounds good. So I wrote down cereal, milk, bowl, spoon, every meal. I take it in to the teacher. I hand it in.
Child services.
Bang. Parent-teacher conference immediately the next day. Mom gets called in. They go, do you know your son was supposed to turn in a recipe? My mom goes, yeah, I heard that bullshit. I don't cook. I work. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm not a Betty Crocker. They're independent. They make their own food. And I'm not happy with how this is all going. Just don't put our page in there. Right, Pat? I go, right, Mom?
Fuck, that teacher thought you were just being a smart.
Yeah, teacher. Yeah, exactly.
No, that's the recipe my mom gave.
Yeah, that's the actual recipe. My mom's the greatest. I got really good parents. I got really lucky. Very, very, I don't want to say dysfunctional, but not how the standard family is supposed to operate.
So I'm similar.
Yeah, your parents are cool as shit. You guys, Todd, I don't know your parents, but I've known Nick's parents and Diggs' parents for a long time. Really cool people.
They're all very similar.
Very similar. We're very lucky that our parents are still together, by the way.
Yeah.
My parents are only together 100% because of sarcasm. I mean, that's it. that's there's no other question about it. But I'm very lucky they're still together. But your parents are very cool. Your parents hung out with us on St. Patrick's Day. That was awesome.
Yeah, we got to party with them.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're just going to stop by for a little bit. And then they hung out all day.
All in.
Frank and Sean.
I think they lasted longer than Todd did.
Well, my night wasn't over. I just left your party.
Todd said he ain't got time for your shit. And then Diggs' parents were part of the intern challenge with us the last day.
Yeah, they had a good time there.
Hang out with us. Good people, man. Lucky to have good parents. My parents are probably not the parents that they'll write books about, but they should. They'd write comedies about. Just they gave us everything we needed.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Keep it moving. Mindset, work hard. If you want to if you want to swear, cool. Don't swear around other adults though, because they're not happy about it. I was like 12. I was swearing with my parents. Like, whatever. Here we go.
My thing is, you gotta learn someday.
Yeah, like my dad.
You gotta learn someday.
They were like, listen, don't swear around other people's parents. Just don't. Here's the line. Don't do it. But I still don't understand.
Like, I swear in front of kids all the time, and people give me looks, and I said, they're gonna learn someday. Yeah. Might as well be today.
Yeah, that's like Eminem. Why don't you do better at parenting? Do gooder at parenting or something is one of his quotes. Why don't you do good at marriage? I forget what it is. Yeah, I'm tired of parents pawning blame off on role models. You should be their fucking role model. Charles Barkley did this whole thing where it was like, the parents need to be the role models, not athletes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not athletes, not entertainers. Totally. Yeah. Because there's a very, very, very solid chance that that kid is not going to be an actor or an athlete. But there is a very solid chance that he's going to become you, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're relying on your children to learn how they should behave as a human being from people they watch on TV, you're a shitty parent. I mean, come on.
But we live in an interesting society, though. Kids know everything right now, and parents are acting like their kids don't know everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm kind of sick of the parents of horrible kids. Whenever something horrible happens to the kid, comes out and goes, my son would never do that, blah, blah, blah. That means you just don't know what your son's been doing. That means you're a bad parent. Yeah. That means you shouldn't be getting interviewed. You should be getting counseling on how to be a better fucking parent. Keep your fucking quotes off my goddamn TV. All right? I'm sick of it.
Deal with that fucking truth, okay?
Yeah. There's a little truth bomb
for you.
There you
go, parents.
I want you to do better, do gooder at parenting. Anything happen in the world of sports, Diggs?
Hey. Well, we were talking about being positive and shit like that and good people, so I wanted to
start. JJ Watt's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, JJ.
Ooh, happy birthday.
You guys tight?
I got a chance to hang out with him at the Pro Bowl, yeah.
Is he as stiff as he seems?
No, he was pretty cool, man. This was before he got – this was on his rise, though. My first Pro Bowl was on his rise. So it was before he was everywhere. And I said, if I'm JJ Watt, I'm fucking everywhere. And then lo and behold, a month later
– he's everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. So I don't know – if that was already in the plans or if I motivated a little bit. I'm a motivator. Everybody knows that. I'm a motivator. Happy birthday, JJ Watt. The NFL's better when he's playing. But anyways, go ahead.
So I have control of these stories, and I love this story. There was a Brazilian soccer goalie who had his girlfriend murdered and then fed to his dog.
Jesus Christ, what?
And he said, get over my one mistake. I made one mistake. Get over it. I'm not a bad guy.
He did what? Hold on. He did a Kim Jong-un style thing?
The Brazilian goalkeeper who ordered the murder of his girlfriend before feeding her to his Rottweilers has incredibly claimed he's not a bad guy.
Is he in jail for this?
He was in jail for 6 years and got out on a technicality, because it's Brazil, I guess.
Yeah, that means
he goes,
money.
I made
he paid somebody money.
I made a mistake, a serious one, but mistakes happen in life. I'm not a bad guy.
He got, how'd he kill her? Shot her?
Doesn't matter. I mean,
well, it does matter, because when I read this thing, I thought he paid for somebody to kill her, and then
it
that
said
person
ordered the murder of his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's
before
what I
feeding
thought
it to his Rottweilers.
He got the body and fed it to
correct
his dogs.
I believe so. Yes,
you know, like gangsters would throw him with the hogs, and just, he threw him with dogs.
That's a terrible.
That's like the movie Snatch. If you got enough pigs to feed a body.
This goes back to that Ray Rice thing.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
But to another level, a little.
Slightly.
But that's terrible for that girl.
We're not making light of that.
But we are making light of somebody getting on record after doing that and saying, I'm not a bad guy.
Shit happens.
That's what we're making fun of.
Like, if you have that in your brain to follow through on that, you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because he didn't just follow through on the murder. He followed through on the...
That's a fuck. Mm-hmm. That's... Killing someone's fine. The feeding to Rottweilers, that's animal...
Killing someone's fine.
Animal cruelty there.
Oh, my God.
Even Jeffrey Dahmer admits... Even Jeffrey Dahmer admits that he's a bad person, right? He's like, don't let me out because I'll just kill
Charles Manson,
people.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he's a good guy.
He thinks he's
the
Messiah
or
something.
Was he a good-looking dude? Is he the one that was good-looking and lured him in?
No.
Everybody said Charles Manson was a good guy. Like a good-looking guy, like an easy...
No, he was a little creepy-looking dude. But he was great at mind control. He knew how to brainwash people.
Serial killers.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Oh, time now for the Kim Jong-un update on the Hakate Show.
Well, who made that? You made that? Hoff, you made that?
Don, no, I didn't know about that.
I didn't know anything about it. That was amazing.
Can I hear it again?
I coughed over the final verse.
It just says, just let it roll here.
Oh, time now for the Kim Jong-un update on the Pat McAfee Show.
One more time.
Kim Jong-un update on the Pat McAfee Show.
Oh, God. Thank you for that.
So bad.
Thank you so much for that.
I haven't cried that hard since I was a little girl.
God, I love that so much. Let's take
it. Oh, my God.
Let's take it.
Hang on.
That was amazing.
Ooh, Jesus.
That was fucking amazing.
From the clouds.
Out of nowhere. I'm crying right now.
I'm going to stop. My stomach hurts so bad.
Oh! That's how he started it! For those of you who have not listened to all of our shows, Kim Jong-un is basically a member of our team. We talk about him very often.
We are the official podcast of Kim Jong-un.
Oh, okay, Nick, good luck.
That was nice of him to record that for us. Too. Send that in.
Oh!
So his missile flopped. He tried to launch a missile, and it exploded on the launch pad. Is the gist of it. Days after he threatened the U.S. with nuclear destruction and sent out that awesome video with the awesome, sweet graphics of the.
That's an app, by the way. That's an app. I have that app on my phone. That blow up app.
That was the worst video I've ever seen, and his people have to believe it.
I do.
I know.
He's Wile E. Coyote. Just someone up. Who fucks up all the time. Yeah. I don't.
Oh my God.
Just bad. After Effect blow up things that he puts over another video.
Jesus Christ.
Showing him dominating the U.S.
That was a blind side of awesome right there, that whole fucking soundbite to go into that.
So expect him to strap those scientists to the next missile he launches.
They're done.
Oh, you know.
They're fucking done.
And you know, anything for you, leader. Anything, we're sure this one will go to space.
What pressure are you under when he tasks you to do something for him? Like, if it doesn't work, you know what's going to happen. You're dead. He just embarrassed Kim Jong-un. Those scientists are dead.
I am so sick of our news media, because everybody's trying to pump that we're pissing off nations, right?
Right.
Every news is spinning that we're pissing the world off. We're pissing the world off, blah, blah, blah. They're all trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So they're like trying to give legitimacy to this Kim Jong-un guy. And they're watching all the same stuff we are.
Right.
This guy is a laughingstock of everything. He's in his own little reality of failure.
He's a cartoon.
He's a legit sitcom.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un is a sitcom of failure.
Yeah.
And now,
what should the subject line of this be? I'm writing a letter to his organization to see if we could get him on.
Kim Jong-un's organization? Yes. Are you serious?
It's kimjongun.org/contact.
Can we send an audio file? Send him this.
Hold on. I'm making the subject listen immediately.
Time now for the Kim Jong-un update on the Pat McAfee Show.
I just realized that's my job.
That's off. Yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Korean accent out of you.
I love it.
Oh, hello. Who is that, China?
I don't know.
We can really reach out to Kim Jong-un.
I'm trying to right now.
This guy's
the worst, man. How is he so, the fact he's on the news, and we've been calling this the entire time. Everything he does is a fail that they're trying to spin into a success. That those missiles into the Sea of Japan weren't supposed to go into the Sea of Japan. Those were supposed to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. This thing, he was trying to launch this to space, and it got how far?
Nowhere.
It didn't even get off the launch pad.
Was this the thing that was going to take the satellite and put it in orbit?
So he blew through a satellite
there,
too?
So he blew up the satellite. No.
The satellite is just like a direct TV dish.
He put a direct TV dish on a rocket.
Listen, we're going to space. Oh, my God. He's the worst. What are you going to write to him? Does it have to be? He's probably Korean, right?
I said, hey, gang, this is Diggs from the Pat McAfee Show.
Hey, gang.
We would love to have Kim Jong-un on our podcast to discuss some of the shit he's done lately.
No. Keep it positive. Let's get him on here.
Okay.
Yeah. Just tell
him we're big fans.
Yeah, we are.
Of him.
Yeah. Get him on here.
We'd love to have Kim Jong-un on our podcast to discuss the great victory.
You think they'll listen to our show beforehand? We might be signing ourselves up for one of them fucking nerve gas things.
No. It's funny you say that, because I got a tweet today from a guy and was like, do you guys worry we're walking around that you're going to get nerve gassed by one of Kim Jong's agents? And I said, no, if it happens to one of us, except for Pat, it's good for the show. It's good publicity. We need Pat, though, for the show.
Yeah, it just can't be me. Yeah. I need you guys to take some nerve gas to the face if we have to. All right, for the show, Nick.
Yeah, I could.
I think Nick's probably not going to be. Diggs, I don't know. I don't know if we.
Is there an address? Like, can we send him a gift bag or something? We
should, yeah.
Send him a gift bag. We should send him a satellite.
We should. Have you guys ever ordered flowers online before?
Not a bad idea.
We should do that, but you got to be careful because everybody knows you can get that very screwed up.
Yeah,
if
because
you don't go to the right flower.
Because flower companies are known for screwing things up.
Yes, exactly. God. I mean, you're lured in with a $19.99 advertised price. By the time you check out, it's $94.
Unbelievable.
Right? Yeah, I came here to your site thinking I was spending $19.99, and you tricked me into spending $94. That's the stuff I don't like. And then the flowers arrive. They're nothing like the picture, and they're half dead. That's what? That's catfishing.
Yep. Everybody's catfishing everybody. Yeah. Your flower company should not be catfishing you.
I thought I was getting Mila Kunis. What I got was Rachel Maddow. That's catfishing. I want what is in the picture. Those other flower companies are just middlemen. We all know that. They're jacking up the price you pay because they're price jackers. Boots.com offers a better way. Farm fresh flowers that can last up to 2 weeks. That's 14 days, Diggs. 14 days. They're high quality and seriously beautiful, like Mila Kunis. Additionally, Boots.com provides fully transparent prices, no gimmicks, no hidden fees, no endless upsells.
What's it called?
Boots.com.
Nailed it.
And they have free delivery Tuesday through Friday. Those are weekdays. Free delivery Tuesday through Friday when you register at Boots.com.
Nobody wants flowers on Monday anyways. Fucked up over the weekend. Let it settle on Monday. Send them on Tuesday. Tuesday through Friday, free delivery?
Free delivery Tuesday through Friday.
That's
you
huge.
Can't beat that.
Huge.
Huge. Plus huge. The site, unlike every other site, is beautiful and modern.
Yeah,
not like Rachel Maddow. Oh, use Boots.com and be a better son, brother, boyfriend, husband, and I'll argue, as Pat would say, a better human.
Yep.
Check out Boots.com. You'll see what we mean. Here's a special offer for our listeners. Get 20% off your order. Just go to Boots.com. Do this now. We'll send these flowers
I'm
to
on
him.
To Kim Jong.
Go to Boots.com.
Put this in the letter, actually. Tell him, dear Kim Jong, we'd like you to come on. In the meantime, we'd like you to go to Boots.com.
Yeah. We'll give him the special offer. He gets 20% off any order. If he goes to Boots.com, that's, by the way, that's B as in bet, O as in over, U as in under, Q as in quit, and S as in spread.com. That's B-O-U-Q-S. That was a Vegas theme, phonetical spelling. .com. Boots.com, and use the promo code PAT for 20% off your purchase.
This is a beautiful arrangement I'm going to send him.
Yeah, absolutely. Send them a little bear and some other stuff. Do they have, I shouldn't say that. Do they have little
pandas?
Pandas?
Ooh, he might like a panda.
What's panda?
It's Chinese.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they do get along.
They do like Chinese.
China likes North Korea because they don't want North Korea coming in China. That's why they like them.
They don't
want
to mess with
anyways, another flawless ad transition from Kim Jong into a company that's paying. Todd, you nailed that. Todd, I want to let you know. You give a lot of credit to other people on other shows. You might be the best ad slipper-inner.
I've seen that. I've read it.
In the history of the world.
I've read it on Twitter that he is.
People are, you know what? We talked about this before. We don't want anything in our show that isn't, doesn't have entertainment value.
Be entertaining.
Right? So why would we just read from a piece of
like
paper?
Like when those fucking losers win awards at these award shows. You won an award for being entertaining. Be entertaining.
I'm telling you right now, Hollywood. Give Pat McAfee an award and wait to see what happens at that award ceremony.
Strap up.
Your ratings will go through the roof.
I don't think they will. Probably go the other way. The people that are watching that. People in the room probably not going to like it as much as everybody at home. That's like a Ricky Gervais operation. Definitely go to Boots.com and watch Better Call Saul on
AMC.
Wish they'd bring Mad Men back, though. I miss that
You
show.
Were a big Mad Men fan. That was a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good show.
Oh, I did a nice old-fashioned last night.
It's any show about guys in suits drinking old-fashioned, smoking cigs all day while they're supposed to be working.
Ripping darts.
That's what the world was back in the day, though, right?
Yeah.
What a better time.
Everywhere. What a better time.
Guys, I'm old as hell. I remember the smoking days. Jason, you probably did, too.
Absolutely.
Like,
yep.
My grandma's couch had ashtrays built into the armrest. That was a thing. They built furniture with ashtrays built in.
Everybody smoked.
Can you imagine that world?
Just kind of the way it was?
Oh, yeah.
Ripping fucking dots.
Your parents smoked in the car with the windows up. They didn't give a shit about you.
Not
there
at all.
There was no seatbelts.
You know what?
Yeah. Different world.
Any other sports news you dig?
Well, speaking of Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
LeVar Ball's back in the news again.
Oh. He's like the American Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that's why that's why I said it.
Just doing dumb shit every day.
He was talking shit on LeBron's kids.
And he wanted $1 billion. He really is Kim Jong-un. I want $1 billion. I'm going to do dumb shit every day. I'm going to ruin lives.
And LeBron told LeVar to fall the fuck back.
Yeah, what happened? So I saw the quote from LeBron.
He said that LeVar said that his kids are set up way better for NBA success than LeBron's kids.
They're like 8 years old. They're 10 years old.
Yeah, and they're
LeBron's kids,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're LeBron's kids.
Yes.
That's what they're going to do is they're going to kill it. But they're all young, right?
I think they're like 12-ish now.
And this guy's talking shit on 12-year-olds?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's going to be sorry.
What did LeBron say?
He said he told him to fall back.
He said it's a dad-to-dad thing now, right?
Yeah, he goes, don't bring my kids into this.
I tell you what, to hear from LeBron James, hey, fall back. That is the most subtle, scariest thing I've ever heard in my life.
LeBron lost a lot of weight. I wonder if
he's still 6'8", 260. Like,
oh, he's a huge human being.
And just shredded.
Instantly throws Nike out on that $1 billion contract.
Oh, yeah.
He wants that $1 billion contract for his three kids. Nike's gone now. Mm-hmm. You got to go Under Armour or
they're not
going to
go. No one's going to go against LeBron James.
And I'm pretty sure he was already talking shit on Steph Curry. So
there is Under Armour. Under Armour is out. So what does he got? He's got Adidas left.
As long as he doesn't piss James Harden off, I think he's good with Adidas.
2 Chainz and James Harden. Don't piss them off, right?
And Damian Lillard. I think those are their big stars.
What's a Damian Lillard?
The point guard for the Trailblazers.
I didn't know if he was a rat. I have no idea. I didn't know what Damian Lillard was. He's a point guard for the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. Really good.
All-star.
Nice.
Wow. Good for Adidas. I think Adidas should sponsor this show.
I do too.
I like Adidas' stuff. Not as much as I like another company that's going to pay me, though. So just know that.
I got two more, but I'll let you pick which one.
All right. What are the options?
We got Kaepernick or we got Aaron Hernandez. Case.
I want both of them.
Okay. What do you want to start with?
Looks like Aaron Hernandez is about that life.
Dude.
He is about that life.
The details that are coming out from this Alex Bradley dude being on.
Alex Bradley's his best friend that he shot in the face leaving Tootsie's, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shot him right in the face. Dude survived.
Because he wanted to go back and get his phone.
Oh, my God.
He turned him into a Bond villain. He shot him in the eye, and then this guy's whole life after that was plotting how to kill Aaron.
And he nods off in the car to him and wakes up, and it's pointed between his eyes, and he just lets it go.
What type of gun is that, though?
I don't know. One that kills you normally?
Probably the same one Dick shot into a sock drawer. Yes, the 22.
There's something about what's ever behind the eyeball that the bullet can safely go through without hitting anything major to the brain.
But
I don't know what it is, because I know a guy got shot same way, right through his eyeball. He was fine, except he lost his eye. So he hit him in a bad place.
Yeah, idiot.
Was Aaron driving and shooting?
They were like parked.
They pulled over because the dude fell asleep and just woke up to a gun in his
face.
And
it's because that guy knew about his other murder.
Yeah,
right?
He didn't want him to run his mouth.
But when he woke up in the hospital, the
$40
police,
fucking million dollars.
That was it. That was literally right after he got paid.
Listen to Nick.
Yeah, man.
Nick's also somebody you don't want to piss off.
No, absolutely.
He has no conscience.
Italians are good at a couple things, Todd. Mm-hmm. Food.
Whacking.
Oh, and
folks.
Organized crime.
The one that he was worried about him snitching on, he killed that guy because he spilled a little bit of drink on him in the club, and I guess he didn't show him enough respect.
And in there, they said, I read a Yahoo article about this.
That's what I read, too.
Aaron Hernandez comes from, like, a very middle-class family, very okay, and he wanted
a gangster.
Joined, like, the worst gang from Bristol, Connecticut. I don't know what the worst gang in Bristol, Connecticut is.
It's like out there.
Is Bristol, Connecticut.
That's ESPN. Yeah, you joined ESPN. That's the toughest gang in Bristol is fucking ESPN. If they want you dead, they'll fucking murder you. I mean, that's how it goes, but.
So he didn't grow up challenged and all these things.
No,
in the hood.
He's a superstar in high school.
He just wanted to be a gangster so bad. He's just a monster. Man.
He committed to it, though. I was on the same field as that guy a couple times.
He got paid $40 million, went down to Miami, and then shot his best friend.
Yeah, he killed two people, got paid $40 million, shot his best friend, killed another person after that.
Yeah.
All within a 2-year period, right?
He was big into angel dust, too. I read an article.
Also, still not.
So
PCP?
You know, yeah, that'll influence you a little bit.
Oh, yeah. See, he was out of his mind.
How do people get into that? How do you get into PCP? If
marijuana.
Oh, they lace it.
You think marijuana is a gateway drug to PCP? You fucking idiot. I'm tired of those people saying that.
It's the worst.
Well, if you smoke marijuana, if you smoke the wacky grass, you're going to do meth next.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The gateway drug argument.
Those are two polar opposite highs. I don't think those are the same people.
Right.
I don't think those are the same people from what I've heard.
I don't know how you decide you're going to do PCP for the first time, because there's never been a good PCP story ever. You know,
you always cut off your dick and do dumb shit.
Oh, yeah. No one's ever heard someone said, oh, you remember Nancy Johnson's boy was really into the PCP, had that problem. He's an astronaut. That comes back from being a PCP addict.
It's always bad.
Yeah. So why would you even take it for the first time?
So Aaron Hernandez is a fucking idiot, right? I mean, we're all in on that. But
yeah,
he's a real-life gangster, though, too.
Yeah.
Didn't grow up as one. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. And his boy wants him.
Yeah,
they were just staring each other down in a courtroom.
He didn't
huh?
tell the cops who shot him because he wanted to kill him himself.
He said that on the stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's in jail currently, right?
Correct.
So Aaron Hernandez's defense attorney is going to rip that guy to shreds because he's already in jail. That's kind of the way it all operates. I mean,
try to pin it all on him.
Yeah. He's still not suspended by the NFL.
He's not suspended? What do you have to do?
I tell you, get drunk and swim in a flood. Allegedly. Jesus. I want to interview Aaron Hernandez one day.
That would be phenomenal.
Like, it would be a real conversation, though, I think.
They have phones in there. Yeah.
No, I want to, like, do a sit-down Dr. Phil-style interview, like, where he's sitting on that side of the table, I'm sitting on this
side.
Ask
him how he gets colds?
Oh, go into the prison.
Yeah, but I want him to be handcuffed for sure. Like, most guys, I'm very comfortable around.
Belly chain. Yeah.
Aaron Hernandez is a monster. I don't know how much shit he's on in the jail. Bro. So when did he sign with Puma? Was it after his first murder?
I didn't even know that happened.
Before, yeah, he was with Puma. Like, one of his last tweets before he got indicted on all this shit was like, go buy Puma. And they were like, excuse me, Twitter, how the fuck do we get off of this? And they're like, well, you made the bed, you got to sleep in it.
Ugh.
It was in there. He had a big Puma deal. And I wonder if that was after he had already murdered two people before he shot his best friend, or after he murdered two people, shot his best friend before he murdered his girlfriend's brother-in-law. Because, goddamn. Do some research, Puma. Do some research.
Bad investment.
A bad investment.
Not a lot of Puma athletes.
Think about this. The Patriots are still winning.
I blame Aaron Hernandez in the Puma situation on why we didn't get that beer contract with you. That was the question they asked. Well, why did you go murder somebody?
I can't believe they said that. Still to this day. Did you see the Puma contract?
Yeah, there's no date on it, but it happened soon after.
Oh, Usain Bolt's another. He's a pretty big Puma guy.
And
he also signed with Saito Sport or something. Both of them both dropped him real quick.
The NFL didn't. Roger Goodell didn't drop him. But one of the Jenners is a Puma girl, too.
Ricky Fowler, isn't he?
Yeah, Ricky. Yeah.
Ricky Fowler, yeah. Aaron Hernandez. I was with an agency, Athletes First, for like a month or two, because I needed an agent. And I just fired three other ones, so I needed an agent to represent me. And they were good people, but they didn't put me up on their website as one of their athletes.
Ooh.
Aaron Hernandez was up there. It was after he got arrested. And I was like, you motherfuckers have Aaron Hernandez still on your thing. You don't even put me up there? You guys aren't proud to have me a part of your team? Like, oh, that must have been just a mistake. And I go, yeah, you're right. Hey, you're fired. See you later. Take care. I didn't fire him for that. I fired him because I didn't need him anymore. I was done. My contract was up and done.
This was recent.
No, it was.
Oh, the
franchise tag year.
Yeah.
They negotiated all the way to the franchise tag, which
thanks,
means
guys.
They failed, thanks, and I guys. Still had to pay them, which is ridiculous so and asinine.
They got a percentage of your franchise tag contract.
Yeah, 3%. When they failed, like if you get a franchise tag, they actually failed. That's what happened, and I still had to pay them 3%. I think they're good people. Athletes First were good people.
Okay.
All these agencies are good people. I was very low on the totem pole in all of these agencies that I was in. That's why I kind of got out of there, wanted to do my own thing. But when it gets to negotiation time, you need an agent, whatever. So I brought them on. But I still had to pay them.
We learned that with our office, too.
God fucking damn it. I was so sick of that. We're in this real estate conversation. And I chit-chat with the guys. I'm like, this is what we want to do. Just tell me how much I have to pay per month, how much I owe you, blah, blah, blah. Keep it moving. Keep this very basic. Because I don't want to hire an agent. I'd rather do this man-to-man handshake. Mm. Let's keep it moving. The business done through a handshake thing is lost. That's something we need to bring back to America. Without all these lawyers putting in these little small print that can fuck everybody over. Handshake, here we go. That's what I'm doing with the Indy Star.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with the Indy Star for the Indiana Sports Awards, which will be my first time speaking publicly since the retirement since everything, really. And I'm going to give a great speech. I think you guys should come to that. It's going to be a 35 to 40 minute speech, basically about life. And although I'm only 29, I've lived a lot, and I'm excited for that. You guys should come to that. And they're not paying me to tell you that. In our handshake deal, they're paying me to come speak. I don't have to do anything else, but I think you should come listen to that. It'll be worth it. But I went into handshake deal, and then they sent us that real estate contract. And it was like 15 pages long with all these words that none of us fucking knew. We were Googling these words trying to read this contract, yeah. And I had to bring in an agent. And what did the agent do? Almost fucked it. Almost fucked it all
made
up.
Made it more complicated.
Made it even more complicated. I'm like, God damn it. Just shake my hand and tell me how much I owe you. Let's keep it moving. Anyways, anything else going on in sports?
Yeah, the whole Kaepernick not getting signed thing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's talking about this.
Yeah.
Everybody. They're trying to make it a race thing, all this bullshit. What did Trump say? That's probably why, because Trump said something.
Trump said that he's not being signed because the owners are afraid to get a mean tweet from the president of the United States.
That's a Kim Jong type comment. Yeah.
He thinks he has so much power through Twitter that he's stopping players from being signed.
Well, he does have a lot of power.
I know.
Through Twitter.
Yeah, he really does. He's crashed a lot of stocks so far.
Yeah, he takes over. Actually, stocks up, but he's taken over every news network.
I'm not saying the market. He like made a tweet about the new fighter jets that he thought they were way too expensive, and then that stock crashed.
Yeah, by the way, saving a lot of money on these deals with all these things where ex-presidents were just getting fucked over in the deal, whatever.
Yeah.
But his tweets take over every news that he does. Saying that owners are scared to get a mean tweet, though, boy, that's a little high horse. That's a little off your high horse there. What people need to understand, though, this is just like Tebow, right? Just like Tebow.
It's a distraction.
Everything that comes with Colin is gigantic. So unless he's going to be your starter,
right.
You don't want to deal with it. Just like Tim Tebow. Nobody wanted to deal with all his bullshit, all the distractions, which is not his fault. It's just everything that comes with him. Just like this. This isn't Colin Kaepernick's fault. He took a stand, which is in America you can do. That's why we love our country. You can do that. But everything that comes with that now is what teams don't want to worry about. People are making complaints on Twitter about Josh McCown getting signed and Colin Kaepernick not getting signed and comparing the two as quarterbacks. Granted, I think Josh McCown could probably throw better than Colin.
I think he
can throw better, but you're hiring a backup quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're a coach, you don't want to be handled like, I don't want to spend this much time talking about my backup quarterback.
Backup quarterbacks, though, are for practice squad. Right. So they got to throw every pass. You got to be able to throw every single ball. Josh McCown can throw every pass. He can make every pass. Colin Kaepernick can't.
Right.
But Colin Kaepernick adds a different dimension if he's going to be your starting quarterback that Josh McCown doesn't. Backup quarterbacks, their job is to study film. That's what backup quarterbacks do in the NFL. People don't understand it. They're like, oh, they signed this guy as a backup quarterback. Yeah, he's probably not going to play. You don't see starters get hurt that often. I mean, granted, every year you'll see four or five guys get hurt, but there's 32 teams. That means 27, 26 starters are going throughout the whole season. Backup quarterbacks' jobs are to study film.
So you're getting paid more for your brain than you are your arm or your legs.
You got to know football. You got to know what defensive tendencies are. You got to study film. And I'm assuming everybody brings in Josh McCown because he's got a good brain. He probably knows how to study film. He's probably a very smart guy. We had Jim Sorgi. He was here with Peyton. He was basically, his jobs were just to do assignments for Peyton. Study this corner, study that Mike linebacker, give me a couple of his tendencies by Wednesday. I need a whole written report. So Jim Sorgi would just watch film, break down a defense, blah, 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 and he'd show up with a notebook filled for Peyton to study. That's what backup quarterbacks do. I don't know how Colin Kaepernick is in the film room. If you watch him in games this past year, probably not that great. He's a freak athlete. Right, he's a really good football player. I'm not knocking him at all. Uh-huh. But no team's going to bring him in to be a backup quarterback if you can't make all the throws for the practice squad and you can't study film as well as other guys. That's just how it is. Starting quarterbacks, these Josh McCown photos are outrageous that you just showed me.
They're Josh. He looks just like Ivan Drago.
He really does. That's exactly what he looks like, actually.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. But I'm tired of people making this. Everybody makes everything a big deal nowadays. Everything's a big deal because we live in an interesting world. There's still some racism that happens in a lot of places in the country. Not the whole country, but in a lot of places, there's some racism that happens. Mm-hmm. Cops make bad decisions.
Yep.
But we just like with African Americans who make poor decisions, there's a small minority of them that do that. We can't paint a broad brush over everybody. I'm tired of doing that. A couple cops are assholes. That's the way it works. Not all cops are assholes. A couple black dudes do bad things. Not all black dudes do bad things.
Right.
There's a couple white guys who are athletic. There's not all white people are athletic. This is just what we have to do. We have to stop making everything a political race issue because it's just dividing our country even more. And the Colin Kaepernick thing, if people think they're not signing him because he took a knee or because he's black or something like that, I think that's a very asinine statement that is very aggressive. And you're taking shots at 32 NFL owners who employ and give a lot of money to the African-American community each year. I mean, you're talking about some six-figure jobs that 1,000 Americans get year in and year out. So taking a shot at owners is a fucking big deal because they're just trying to help their cities.
And you say this all the time. If you're good enough, it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to get signed. You're going
to
play.
Be who you can afford to be.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Be who you can afford to be is a quote that is in the NFL. Right? So if I completely sucked at kicking balls when I got arrested, I would have been out of the league forever. Mm-hmm. Bill Polian didn't think I sucked. He thought I had potential to get my life together and keep it moving. Colin Kaepernick is not your fucking superstar quarterback right now.
Right.
Right? He's not the superstar quarterback right now. He can't make every single throw. Is he a great football player? Yeah. He made it to the NFL, took a team to the Super Bowl. He's great. He had a great team around him, but he is a great player. But teams aren't going to bring him in to be a start. Who's he going to start over?
Right.
Who's he going to start over?
Yeah.
And then you're going to bring him in to be a backup? Why? Just in case your guy has a small chance of getting hurt, but you got a backup quarterback now who doesn't know how to break down film? I don't know if he can. I have no idea about Colin Kaepernick's football IQ. I have no clue what it is.
But he had better have that skill if he expects to get hired in that role.
If he wants to get hired by a team, though, he's going to have to showcase that he can make every throw for the practice squad to showcase to challenge the defense, and he's going to have to break down film for people. That's the easiest way. Now, granted, him kneeling probably didn't make a lot of people happy, but – all NFL owners are about is having a good team and winning. That's all they care about is winning.
Yeah.
And you can be who you can afford to be, and I think this is a perfect case. But I'm sick of people making everything a fucking race issue. I understand there's a lot of horrible shit happening, but not everything is like that. Let's take it easy. Let's fucking take it easy. That was deep. But I'm happy we talked about that because I want to get that out because that side is not being talked about enough. Everybody talks about the race and him taking a kneel, which is what America is, freedom of speech. That's a freedom of speech. If you want to take a knee during the national anthem, you can. I don't agree with it, but it's America. That's what it is.
I'm happy he's able to do that and not get – and there's no consequence.
Well, not getting nerve gassed.
I want to live in that country. Now, if he's like, I don't want to hang out with you because you're disrespecting my country, but do your thing. Mm-hmm. That's my stance, but I don't want there to be sanctions for him doing that.
I mean, the main reason why people were mad was he was kneeling, and then it came out that he didn't even vote. So people were pissed that he's not even trying to.
Sure, sure.
Got it?
Yeah. I just got a text message from Erica.
Oh.
Asking about Vegas.
Hey, boss.
Our CEO.
Boys, when do you get to Vegas?
And please don't die while you're there.
She didn't say that. She doesn't care if we die. That's just maybe she does. Yeah, like Erica would care if we die.
Yeah, I think so.
And how are you? Was the next question. Good, Erica. Thanks for asking. She wore a couple of Barstool Indy shirts this past weekend on her ski trip.
Oh, look at
her. Yeah, she didn't take a picture. She told me that, so she could have been lying. But, anything happen in the world, man?
Yeah. How do you feel about Uber? You a big fan of Uber?
I love them.
I think
could sponsor us one day, maybe.
I think Uber and Lyft and things like this are fixing an epidemic that has been in America for far too long.
Oh, yeah.
And drunk
life
driving
is so much
it's
better.
The best.
Taxis, they were fucking on their little high horse for so long, unwarranted arrogance because they were the only option. Mm-hmm. Uber came in and just dick slapped their whole business. Well, Lyft did the same thing. It's just, I think it's an incredible business.
Unless you're in New York City, like, there was no cabs in Pittsburgh. Like,
you had to wait 25, 30 minutes.
At least.
And you had to tell them where you were, and then it was always a miscommunication because English was normally their third or fourth language.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'm at the corner of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah.
Uber is phenomenal.
In Indianapolis, we had every one of them stonk.
Yeah.
It was just, they smelled like cigarette smoke. You know, they were just horrible.
I am sick. My last three times riding with Uber, though, fucking horrible experience.
Oh, really? Yeah, man.
Yeah, because they have these cars slipping. So I do the Luxury XL because my knee just got a surgery. I like stretch the legs out when I'm in the car. This guy showed up in an Acura black car, and I'm getting charged for an XL rate. And I'm like, is this a Luxury XL car? Yeah, man. I'm like, what?
He was Jamaican.
Yeah. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, man, black car, SUV. It's like, no, this is not a fucking issue. This is an Acura.
Barely fits four people.
I was like, can we just move this seat up? Like, I don't care that I'm in this car. Mm-hmm. That's cool with me, but I'm paying for a car that is not this car. That's my only issue. I think Uber needs to do a better. They're getting too big that they're kind of losing their whatever, but.
Yeah. Well, I think this guy agreed with you because the president resigned after 6 months on the job.
There it is. I'm not the only one that's noticing a big decline in Uber.
Wait, Uber's president resigned?
Yeah. So he's not the main guy. He was the number two executive in the company. He quit blaming the culture of rampant sexism and harassment, and he lasted 6 months. He left Target to take that job. He was the CMO, the chief marketing officer for Target.
Wait, he's being harassed?
No, just all the controversy and sexual harassment.
So I've had a couple girlfriends. Not
what happened. The drivers are doing it to.
Yeah. Just everything in like, that company.
I think he smells the writing on the wall. Yeah. There's going to be some serious payoffs in lawsuits.
Dude drivers coming. To female passengers or female drivers getting harassed by drunk dudes getting in the car.
And not even just the drivers. I think like the actual like executives in the company treat the employees like shit.
Yeah,
that's horrible. They're going to be a gigantic company regardless. You might as well do things the right way.
Yeah. It doesn't cost you money to be nice.
No, it's not hard.
No.
Right?
You can pay for school.
Well. Yeah.
But you don't have class. Shout out Jay-Z. H-O-V lane.
What up, Hove?
I think they blew up too big and they don't know what to fucking do.
I think that happens a lot.
Way too fast.
They don't know what to do. They're so big, they have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
It's like all these drivers. I had a guy going 30 miles an hour on the highway driving me home. That was supposed to be a luxury XL driver. And I'm like, I don't know. This is just an enjoyable experience because this is such a joke. But this is not what Uber wants to become.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what you said you were going to be. This is not what I'm paying for. This is nothing like that. You guys are just fucking it up. And I assume they'll get a guy in there who will make it better, I assume, at some point. But when you're getting into Uber, you know that there's going to be fights, though, because every city, every taxi company's fighting against you. Everybody's fighting against you. That's a business that it's going to take 10 to 15 years to really make its like a very steadfast operation.
Well, it was just a couple weeks ago. Their CEO was caught on camera arguing with a driver. Like he took an Uber and he was arguing with the driver. And it
was this like an undercover boss situation?
Indirectly. Like it wasn't meant to be, but yeah. And then I guess I found out the
reason
he was taking the Uber was he was taking two girls home to have a threesome.
Mm.
Which I as CEOs do.
Nice job, bud.
Yeah.
Congrats on the
sex. I think I was an asshole one night in Uber and whoever was in there with me, we were just drunk and told me the next day that I might have claimed to be the vice president of Uber.
Always a power move, by the way, when fighting with somebody who doesn't know who you are.
Can you look up your rating on here?
No, but I always ask the driver what my rating is. I'm always very nice.
Yeah, I guarantee I'm a six.
Like when that guy showed up in an Acura when he wasn't supposed to. He even had it in as like a Yukon in the description that was showing up, and the Acura showed up. I'm like, well, you catfished me.
You ever given less than a 5-star?
Yeah, that guy that was driving 30 and a 55 and then stopped at a green light for 20 minutes.
Well, drivers around here aren't great.
Indiana driving is very interesting. They do not understand the rules, really.
They don't merge well.
Get distracted easily.
No, yeah. Like when a lane ends, they just think it's their right, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, like an on-ramp. When their lane ends, they think that it's just their like it's our fault that they have to get
on. Or they just freak the fuck out and stop in the middle of.
Yeah.
They wait too long. They're like, I don't have to merge until absolutely this lane ends. They're not like, oh, if I do it in advance, knowing it's coming, then I won't interrupt the flow of traffic. But nobody here does.
Or speed up and get in front of a car or slow down and get behind it. They just act like, yep, this lane's ending. It's your fault, not mine. Get the fuck out of the way. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then you guys had to make a law in Indiana 2 years ago. I was here for it. That if you're in the left lane and you're not passing somebody, you get a fine. I'm like, no shit. Yeah, that's how driving is, Indiana.
It's a passing lane.
Yeah, like the state had to make an announcement to the Indiana drivers. Yeah. Listen,
that's absurd.
If you're in the left lane and you're not passing somebody, we can pull you over. That's against the law. And Indiana was like, what do you mean? Like, I thought we were just supposed to be three wide. I thought it was like three wide racing. Like, just set the pace for everybody. We saw 10 cops on the street.
Yeah, yesterday. Speaking of setting the pace and almost getting pulled over.
Oh, they were on it yesterday, man. They were stopping everybody.
10 cops we saw for one trip around 465.
City cops, too, on the interstate. Yeah. You see that a lot.
They must be looking for money to pay for Joe Hogsett's fucking bodyguard protection. It's got four guys around him. Hey, Mayor, nobody wants to kill you. Take it easy. I'm a big fan of the mayor, but goddamn, he's a little bit scared. Yeah,
does he need his own Secret Service? Nah, I think not.
Yeah, people think fucking Joe or Ballard's still the mayor. I don't know what this guy is. I love Hogsett, but he's outrageous. I did a little show with him, and he had his own dressing room. Tom Griswold was there, who's the host of Bob and Tom Show. He's been nationally syndicated for 30 years, only had like 5 million listeners at one point in his career.
Right.
He's tucked into a dressing room with 10 other people. This guy's made a lot of money and has affected a lot of lives and given a lot of charity. He's tucked in with 10 people. Mayor's got his own dressing room to himself. I'm tucked in another one with 9 other people on this side. Mayor got his own dressing room.
Oh, yeah.
Politicians, man.
No, that's not all politicians. And I think, Joe, the way Hogsett is, Mayor Hogsett is, he's a nice guy, like a friendly guy. I think this is all the people around him telling him what he needs to do. And here's me telling you, as somebody who is not in the political race, and I am an independent, he's a Democratic mayor. I'm cool with that. I think he's going to do a lot of great shit for this city. But chill the fuck out, man. Chill the fuck
out. I really want to start a segment called Chill the Fuck Out. And just...
You guys had a do less. You wanted to do
less. Chill the fuck out, do less.
Same thing.
Yeah.
All right. On the phone now. You don't find this often. You don't find good friends in the NFL because people come and go so quickly. And speaking of coming and going, this guy has come and gone to a lot of teams in a very short amount of time. This is the ultimate grit grinder of the NFL. If you were to take a picture of an NFL career and said, God damn, he's persistent. He's a round fellow with short arms, not supposed to play offensive line in the NFL. What's he doing? He's about to start year 9 for the Arizona Cardinals. Carson Palmer is up in his taint every single play. Center from Penn State University, Joe Pa. The other guy, a lot of kids. Ladies and gentlemen, AQ Shipley. How's it going, AQ? How's it going?
Hey, guys. What's up, guys?
Hey, man. Why did we just have to wait fucking an hour and a half to do an interview with you?
Look, man, I'm just trying to overachieve. I'm trying to prove to people that I belong in this thing. Everybody said I can, so my way is to work out for 6 hours a day to just try and fool a bunch of people.
Well, you're the little engine that could if I've ever seen it. How many transactions have you had in the NFL?
14.
14 transactions, 8 years. Last year was your first year starting the whole time, right?
Correct.
So you took 7 years to get to a position where somebody finally let you start. Because in the NFL, there's politics, right? You have short hands, you have small hands, you have a round belly, you got short arms, you're a white guy, you're not as tall as everybody else. So everybody, GMs, scouts, everybody goes, no chance. But all you've done is just come in and change the game. You change the way things happen. You're a game changer, AQ.
Man, I appreciate that. You just described me to a T. I'm not sure if that was a lot of compliments, but I'll take everyone.
You're just a little spark plug, man. That's all you are, trying to do a job.
Just trying to do a job, man.
Hey, so let's talk about this real quick.
Let's talk.
Yesterday on the podcast, you have listened to our podcast, right? Not yesterday's. You haven't today.
I've listened to most of them, yeah.
Okay, so yesterday I told the story about the Chris Angel show.
Yep.
How awful was that show?
Las Vegas! We got a lot of those.
I tried to describe it on the show, and a lot of people have been sending me tweets telling me that I'm full of shit. Was there not like 200 people there in like a 3,000-seat theater, and it felt like we were in his living room, and he was performing for a million people is how he was acting?
It was real empty, but man, he was fired up. The filler was Las Vegas. I mean, we got a lot of Las Vegas. Maybe more Las Vegases than Magic, I would say, wouldn't you?
Hey, one more time. Let me hear him scream, Las Vegas, are you ready?
Las Vegas!
Every time he did anything, anytime the show stopped, he would stand there in a pose. There'd be like a spotlight on him, and he would scream that Las Vegas. And we were like, bro, we are right fucking here. Like, this isn't a full theater.
And it was usually with the standing still pivot, like the old boy band pivot. That's how it was.
AQ, if you had to describe your NFL career with a couple words, what would you say?
I'd say roller coaster for sure. I'd start with saying frustration, then you know, achievement, then frustration again, and then finally kind of reached where I want to be.
That's roller coaster.
That is a complete roller coaster of emotions. You weren't drafted. Were you an undrafted free agent? You were drafted right after me.
I was drafted 4 picks after you.
To the Pittsburgh Steelers.
To the Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah.
Then from the Steelers, did you got to put on the practice squad, or did you go to Philadelphia immediately after that?
No, it was practice squad with the Steelers. Then they wanted to re-sign me to a futures deal. And at that moment, Philadelphia center got tore his ACL in the playoff game. So I was like, all right, here's an opportunity for me to go there. Andy Reid called me. They kind of wanted to get me there. If I didn't get drafted, they were going to sign me as an undrafted free agent to Philly. So I was like, okay, this is an opportunity. I knew they liked me from the year before. Went there, probably the best decision I could have made, because I played for a guy, Juan Castillo, who I still, I kind of owe it to him, I think, in a lot of ways, where I'd say I learned a lot about the game there. I learned he was one of the first guys that kind of didn't really care about arm length or height or anything like that, and just kind of instilled some confidence in me after that first year. And then from there, I kind of learned the game, and was there for 2 years, kind of, you know, not in the league for a little while, and then I went on a visit and ran into you in a hallway in Indianapolis, and that's where things kind of started going in my direction.
And what did I say whenever you were walking around the hallway? You were with Chris Polian, right?
Yep, Chris Polian. We're walking, and I'm about to sign my contract with them, and walking by, and I knew Pat from a while ago, and running to you in the hallway. He's like, "Hey, Pat, Pittsburgh guy. Do you know AQ Shipley?" He's like, "Oh yeah, we got fucked up a couple years ago."
But you got signed.
Yeah, the good thing was, I think shortly thereafter he left, so that conversation was null and void, I think.
I immediately after I said it, I was like, "Oh, I don't know if that's going to help him or not." I was just trying to like lighten the mood a little bit, and it's not always good to scream in front of a pulley. And oh yeah, that guy, you got fucked up with me a couple years ago.
Yeah.
AQ and I met at the College Football Award Show that ESPN puts on down in Orlando, and we were really the only two people that went out. And boy, did we go out! I mean, we did the damn thing. Came back late, real late. Last two people back in the hotel. And ever since then, I just become a gigantic fan, and then we became good friends, and then I spoke at his wedding. And what a run.
What a run.
But from the Colts, so we signed you, then we cut you, then we signed you, then you got traded to Baltimore, and then you got cut from there, and then we got you back, and then you ended up in Arizona with Bruce Arians, right?
Yeah, Bruce has kind of been the driving force in this whole thing. I've kind of been with him going on six now. 6 out of the 9 years I've been with him.
What, for people that don't know Bruce Arians, I told a story about him chewing out a ref in practice the other day. BA is one of the coolest dudes in history. I'm so happy he finally got a shot in Arizona.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, Bruce is – I mean, if you guys haven't seen All or Nothing, it's pretty special to watch because it describes him to a T. I mean, there is no holds barred. He lets it all fly out in there, and that's who he is. He's kind of going to – he's going to motherfuck you. He's going to cuss you. He's going to tell you you're kind of worthless at some point, but he's also going to love you and hug you and bring you up to speed.
Yeah, he's probably the best. I don't know how to say
this. He's up there, man. I think the world of him. Can I tell a story real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got a tight end place for us, and it's funny, man, because he was a second round pick and kind of he was trying to. Feel his way, I guess, his first couple of years, and then last preseason camp, he's sitting there and he's actually having like a really good camp, and BA kind of like is like praising him and like comes out in the newspaper and he's like, "Oh yeah, this guy's doing a really good job." And anyway, so they interview him and they're like, "Oh, so what's it like? You know, Bruce is saying a lot of kind words about you in the newspaper." And the kid goes, he's like, "Hey, it's really good to see, because man, I really was starting to get worried. I thought the first 2 years here, my name was Motherfucker."
That's a term of endearment, though.
Term of endearment, exactly. Yeah.
You, you're starting now for your second year for Arizona. You just re-signed. You're rich. Congratulations. We're all happy that you're finally rich. Yeah. We know you'll use your money in the right way, right, AQ?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Yeah, Jesus. I'm going to Vegas today, so. I mean, there's no chance.
Good luck. Congratulations on that, by the way. Go Xavier, huh?
Yeah, it's Xavier, by the way. I get yelled at by a lot of people.
Xavier?
It's just
no X, huh?
Yeah, there's no. They have an X there, but it's a Z.
I apologize, Musketeers or Buccaneers or whatever you guys are
talking about. The Musketeers. But you're like real into cooking. Like, that's your thing. You want to be a professional chef one day.
I mean, I would like to. I mean, I think I'm better than I am. I post pictures online. Like,
yeah,
like,
I agree. I agree on that, by the way, your statement.
Easy. You're supposed to build me up here. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I've been fortunate. I've got hooked up with a couple big-time chefs that I've kind of become friends with and kind of got the inside scoop on all the restaurants, every city I go to, and it's a pretty cool deal.
How large of a man are you?
6'1", 315 pounds.
What do you have to weigh in at each week?
Anything under 315, I'm good. But good thing I bought a sauna, guys. It's a real
I remember in Indianapolis, we weren't starting you. We weren't playing you. Sometimes we weren't even dressing you for games because I think some people had a vendetta against you.
That guy.
Yeah, there was a couple of people who had a vendetta against you. One guy in particular who I've already showcased my hatred for. That guy.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite situations was we weighed in each week. And if you're overweight, you get fined for each pound you're over. Mm-hmm. and we used to weigh in on Fridays, and that means Thursday night for AQ. What was going on?
Oh man, we had a pretty good routine. So normally, the bad part was I don't know. It was one of those skinny guys like Costanzo or Muir, the guys that look good. They're in the body issue, right? They thought it was a genius idea. Let's do our offensive line dinners on Thursday night, right? So we go out to these dinners, and like, I mean, I'm like, I have no self-control. You put food in front of me, I can't stop, right?
Yeah,
so
you're an American.
So, I feel you.
Yeah, exactly. So I go, and, you know, I knew, like, I shouldn't do this because we have weigh-ins tomorrow, but I'm like, all right, like, cool. Like, I'll do this. And then I'm going to go to the Colts facility. I'm going to sit in the steam room for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And I'm going to sweat profusely. And then on the way home, I'm going to stop at CVS and buy this drink called magnesium citrate. And then I proceeded to stay up all night. Magnesium citrate's a diuretic, kind of more along
too,
the lines.
Right?
Makes you shit, exactly. So I would go from 318 down to 310, make weight, cramp all practice during Friday, and then spend the next 2 days trying to kind of get myself back together.
He did every Friday after weigh-ins. He looked literally like a guy strung out. I'm like, the first time he did it, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? He's like, I didn't sleep much last night. I'm like, why? He's like, shitting all night. I was shitting all night. I was like, why? He's like, had to make weight, man. Had to make weight. And it became a weekly tradition for you. It was one of my favorite things to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do the trainers, do they know you're doing this, the people that weigh you in?
I don't know if they knew this. They will now.
You're a vet now, though, so fuck everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm actually a lot better eater at this stage of my game because I'm 31, I'm getting older, and it's a lot harder to lose weight than it used to be. So I kind of take care of myself a little better than I used to, but...
Yeah,
we're still there.
You just gave a little pro tip to the young guys in the league right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're
exactly.
Welcome. It's kind of, you know what, the body shaming, the fining for every pound over is kind of bullshit.
I'll tell you what, though, man, this Eddie Lacy guy, what a content. He
What happened?
I mean, he gets $55,000 for every 5 pounds he loses every 2 months.
This is like this is a Jared from Subway type.
Because he's 280.
Dude, I'm telling you, if he shows up like at the start of the off-season program, it's 265. He gets 55,000. He gets 55,000 for maintaining that the next month. Then it goes to 255, and still 55,000, 55,000. Then it goes for training camp 245, and then if he holds that weight from 245 through January, he gets 55,000 each month.
Jesus Christ, this is what everybody dreams of.
It's the best contract I've ever seen in my life.
Do you have any of these type of clauses in your contract?
No, all my stuff's like playing time and, you know, things like that. Man, if I had weight, God, I could really clean up, man, because I know how to get there. I know how to get there to that weight.
Yeah, the diuretic drink that you just shit all night.
Exactly. Rubber suit and a sauna, man. It's all three of them.
I mean, it's the healthiest way to lose weight for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, it was JJ Watt's birthday yesterday. Is he a monster or what?
When he's healthy, he's as good as they come. I mean, it's him and Aaron Donald got to be the two most disruptive guys in the league.
Now, when you like when a center studies film, because centers, what do you have to do? You have to call out where the mic is, where the pressure is coming, safety, cover. Yep. What all do you call out?
So come up first thing as an offensive player, most everything is kind of predicated on the middle linebacker. So middle linebacker is not always the middle linebacker, if that makes sense. It's the middle linebacker based on what works best for our scheme. So in some schemes, for instance, you know, when we play Seattle, Cam Chancellor, who's normally a safety, sometimes is the middle linebacker based on their alignment.
Okay. How do you figure out who the middle linebacker is? There's just a balance set?
Figure out who the middle linebacker is based on coverage, based on rotation, based on strength, weakness, all that stuff, right? So there's the mic. Okay, point that out. Then you make the call, which is the protection call. Then from there, quarterback has trump power. So he can come up, and if he sees maybe like a late rotation or they're disguising something, maybe they're showing something one way and bringing the other way, he can come up and say, easy, lefty, or whatever it is, right? And
yep.
He can move the mic one way or the other. He can do whatever he wants. He can make a call for an adjustment, whatever it is. And then from there, you know, it's pretty quick after that. The ball snapped, and everything's got to kind of be in tune, and it all kind of is predicated on what I'm saying, what call's made, if he changes it, another quick call, and then bam, ball snapped.
Has Carson Palmer been easy to work with or hard to work with?
One of the best. He really is. He's, if not the best. I mean, I think the world of him as a player, as a person, as a quarterback, the way he – approaches the game, the way he studies the game. I mean, he's just 37 years old and approaches the game like he's a rookie. He studies his ass off week in and week out, and I mean, he's the real deal.
You guys are legitimately tied by the taint. His hands are up in there. I mean, that's you two are together. You have to get along pretty well, right? I mean, that's
yeah. We're as close as it gets. A couple tickles here and there. We get very, very, very personal.
Larry Fitzgerald's coming back. Carson Palmer's coming back. BA's back. You're back. You guys lost Calais Campbell on the defensive side. I don't know a couple other people, but how's Arizona Cardinals?
Let's not forget
David Johnson.
Since a lot of your listeners are Indianapolis people, let's not forget that Bethea guy.
You guys signed him?
We signed Antoine Bethea.
Holy fuck. That's a gigantic signing.
Big signing.
He's a really good football player. Grigson let go of him immediately and brought in LaRon Landry, and everybody was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Because Twan always shows up, always makes plays, and he's a leader, which is, I think, good for any team. I didn't know you guys signed him. So you're feeling the Cardinals are feeling really good about this run.
Yeah, we feel good.
That's awesome, man.
We feel good, yep.
How is Larry Fitzgerald as a human?
He's as good as they come. He really is. He's as good as they come. I mean, I think I've told you, you got to play golf with him at some point because he's a lot of fun. He's a great, great guy. Great guy to know. Huge into golf. So kind of if I'm anywhere in the country and I want to play some golf, I call that guy. He knows somebody. I guarantee you at one of those courses.
Has that University of Phoenix degree gone to his head?
I think so.
I mean, you go from Pitt, which is a pretty good school, to University of Phoenix. I mean, it's quite a drop-off, but they're marketing the shit out of that.
Yeah, they're marketing big time.
Arizona, all you do is golf, I think. All you do is play football and golf out there. That's what all of the Cardinals do. Every fucking Arizona Cardinal player that I see on Instagram or on Twitter, even BA, football and golf, that's it. Is Arizona the best place on earth for golf, or have you been – because AQ and his dad travel and play a lot of golf. AQ loves cooking, he loves football, and he loves golf. Is Arizona the best place to play golf?
You know, it's one of the best. I will say that. I mean, I've told you this when I first moved out there. You cannot beat waking up, especially us growing up in Pittsburgh, even Indianapolis, very similar weather, right? You can't beat waking up to sun and 80 degrees every single day. It just changes your mood. I mean, you wake up and you know you're going to be happy. it's pretty amazing as opposed to 300 days a year of gray rain. Fog.
Okay. Get to it.
You know what it is, right? but it's up there. It's a different golf. I mean, Pat, you've played a bunch of golf, and I don't know how much you played in Arizona, but I'm telling you, I played a bunch of desert golf, and then I came back to the East Coast, and I felt like I couldn't hit out of the rough because there's no rough in Arizona.
Oh, man.
It's fairway or desert, so you're either hitting out of sand and rocks or fairway. So then you come back east and you play a course of like thick rough and you can't even swing your club. You're just like, I want to quit.
What's your handicap right now?
I'm about a 7.
Pretty solid.
And he's got a big torso too. So everybody, every time I've gone on a course with him, people who don't see him play golf ever think, well, this guy's got a stomach on him. He's round. He's going to suck at golf. Mm-hmm. And then you're really fucking good at golf. You got to hustle some people.
Yeah, I think it's, again, exactly what you just said, the whole stomach, the round, all that stuff, that helped me when I first moved out here. They know I can play now, so it's usually pretty fair games. But, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, like, you're 7. Okay, we'll give you an extra 2 strokes. Okay, cool. I'll go out and shoot 75 and take your money. Good.
What's the offseason look like for AQ Shipley?
Oh, man. So I've been training pretty hard these last couple weeks. I'm trying to get it all in before the big trip, which you know about. I'm going to Scotland in 2 weeks.
That's awesome. Who are you going over there with again?
Just me and my dad.
Going to golf.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you hitting all 4 of those courses over there?
We're playing the old course at St. Andrews, the new course at St. Andrews, Kings Barnes, Carnoustie, and then a course called Renaissance, which is backed up to Mirfield, which is another British Open course. Yeah.
Holy shit. Mm. So you're going to Scotland in a couple weeks. What else?
As soon as I get back, literally, I fly back Easter Sunday, and we start our off-season program on that Monday. So,
wow,
that's the end of my off-season. But good thing about off-seasons in the NFL is even when you start your off-season, Thursday at noon, start your weekend. So I can still kind of do what I want on the weekends.
When are you coming back to Indianapolis?
You tell me, man. Whenever we want to do an eating challenge, I am there.
Yeah, we were thought about this. What was the name we wanted to call it? at first?
AQ eats everything.
Right? No, I thought we were going to call it Fuck You AQ.
Oh, yeah.
And it was going to be me trying to beat him with an eating challenge because you're one of the best eaters. We've all heard your weight stories here, but yeah. He's one of the best. Have you ever gone to like an eating competition and lost?
I mean, I've never done like a full out, like, you know, like you see on 4th of July, but I've done the whole restaurant challenges and I don't think I've ever lost. No.
Well, those guys all train their stomachs. They like deep throat hot dogs. That's not really your style. Your style is like,
That's different.
You want to beat the restaurant challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you tell me you got an hour to eat a 72-ounce steak, it's done in 20 minutes.
Just an American man. Hey, I can't wait to see you again, dude. Miss you. I'll probably be out in. I'm coming out to Arizona for that thing. What is that thing you just told me about?
Oh, the golf tournament.
Yeah. Am I coming out for that?
Yeah, come on. Come on out. Bunch of chefs. It'll be a great time.
When is that again?
April 29th.
Fuck, I got some
plugs.
Do I got something April 30th?
It's a Sanctuary Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona. Pretty awesome spot.
I can't wait to come out, man. Can't wait to golf in that high altitude, you know?
Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun.
The ball travels a long way in the desert, also in Denver.
Exactly.
Dry air, dry heat.
Yeah, he's a sweater, too. AQ sweats.
I haven't stopped sweating all day today. I'm still sweating.
What was your workout?
10 minutes to catch my breath before I called you back.
What was your workout today?
So I did a boxing workout. It took about 45 minutes. Then I did an hour football work with Greg Isdanner. You know Greg.
Yeah, West Virginia guy. You're a line coach.
Yep. And then did an hour lift with Kyle Jacoby, who also you know. But.
God damn. You know the last time I did an hour workout?
I heard you the other day trying to do some sit-ups. What was it, sit-ups and some push-ups? And you still got a gut? I think that's what I heard on the podcast, something along those lines.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I don't know how to get rid of it. But now that I'm retired, I'm allowed to take some of those supplements that we've heard about in the locker rooms.
Man,
I know.
It's got to be a good feeling. It's got to be a good feeling.
Wait till you try this Adderall stuff.
Tell you what. Obviously, we all know about my stomach and the roundness. I'm trying to figure out a way to eat and lose this stomach. It just doesn't happen. I don't know how people do it.
Well, there's some stuff out there. I've been doing some research that make that happen. Thank you.
Okay,
and good. You can't predict. How many more years do you think you got left? What's your goal? What's your target? Just another season and figure it out later? Is every year a whole new career? What is it?
Well, I mean, I signed a 2-year deal, so I'm hoping to obviously finish that out. And if people still want to have me around, I would love to. I mean, I'm just going to try and do this thing as long as possible because I don't have this whole media thing figured out yet, so I don't have anything to fall back on yet. So people still want to pay me to play this game, I'm going to play it as long as I can.
I'm real excited for Fuck You, AQ. You can get a job with me anytime you want to retire.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
And we'll just feed you a bunch of food from all over the world, and then finally somebody will stump you.
Yeah, give you your own cooking Perfect. Show.
Yeah.
I would love that. I would love that.
Hey, how do you feel about Penn State? Still the greatest school on earth or what?
I mean, they're going to be top 5 in the country.
I'm not talking about the current team. I'm talking about
they also won the national championship in wrestling this last weekend. So I'm going to keep deflecting because I know where you're going.
I think Penn State has turned it around, but boy, there was some gray areas there.
So yeah, you were national champion wrestlers.
All right, AQ. I'm proud of you, buddy. You're making a great career. You're having a great career. You're making things happen. When you write your book, Fat Guy Short Arms in the NFL is going to be fantastic. I'm happy for you and your new lady. I mean, I'm just excited for everything you got going on, man. You're a perfect picture of persistence, and I think the world needs to hear about that.
Pat, I appreciate it, man. This show's awesome. Keep doing it, man. I'm really happy for you, and not a lot of people know what the hell they're going to do when they're done playing football, but you had this whole thing figured out, and I'm glad it's working out for you, brother.
How long have I been talking about doing this, by the way?
Now that we're done, 3-4 years.
Everybody was like, I can't believe you retired. I'm like, man, you haven't talked to me then in about 5 years if you haven't.
Exactly.
All right, man. Have fun have fun at BA's golf tourney, man.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, see ya.
I'll see you guys. Yeah.
What a human. I'll tell you what, that guy is...
One of the most fun guys to hang out with. Of all your friends that I've met, one of the most fun. Not saying anything against you two. I'm talking athletes.
No, I know. I know what you're talking about, Todd.
It's the same thing that I always say. He's just a regular dude who happens to be in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a regular dude. He's likes beer. He likes cooking. He likes food. He just likes doing his job and keeping it moving. But talking about a guy who's been told that you can't do something so many times and just continues to do it.
You wouldn't picture him as an NFL player to look at him. I mean, he's a big dude. Don't get me wrong, but he just doesn't look NFL.
He's a big guy. Yeah. Though. Like, he's just a round ball.
He's got to be hard to move.
6'1", 315, round.
Yeah. He's a leverage champion.
Low to the ground.
That's why he does. Yeah. He's just a leverage champion.
Yeah.
And he studies film. He's really, he's a grit guy. He's a, he's a coach's son. He's
first
a,
one in, last one out.
First one in, last one out. His parents are amazing people, too. Good family. Just the whole family's good. I'm very lucky that I got a chance to meet him, befriend him, and hang out with him. He's a good guy. All right, let's get to it. Let's do some final thoughts here. I think it's time for us to do this. Todd's been taking notes all show so he could kill his final thoughts on like the last couple weeks. Let's start with Nick. Nick, what's your final thought?
Final thought is Hoff killed it with the Kim Jong.
Yeah. Can we hear that one more time?
Yes.
Please, just one more again.
Oh, for the Kim Jong-un update on the Pat McAfee Show.
The only thing that isn't accurate about that is he would definitely call me McAfee. Jump the ball on that one. Good call with that, Nick.
That's so good.
Hoff, final thought.
Yeah, my final thought is going back to what you started off talking about getting into this podcasting thing. And as a listener, listeners need to look at this as you've been cultivating for a bit and you've just finally got to plant the seed. Yeah. So it's going to be fun watching this puppy grow.
Yeah, I think this is like a grassroots thing, people that are getting in on us now.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that. I think we got a good shot. Whenever fall rolls, hopefully we'll be hitting full stride and we'll know what the fuck to do in this and our contacts will be great. But I think you're right with that.
We've just only planted the seed.
Yeah. This is just – the sperm has hit the egg.
You can say that too.
And hopefully it swims.
10 fingers, 10 toes. That's all we're looking for. Todd, final thought.
My final thought is that Diggs found a website that claimed to have Kim Jong-un's contact information, and Diggs sent him an email. Uh-huh. Now, there's two distinct possibilities. That's either not Kim Jong-un's contact information, and now some hacker is going to be able to steal all his personal identifying information and banking information and ruin his life.
And
or,
I think my card is on that fucking computer, too.
No.
Yeah. Good.
Or it's Kim Jong-un. And now he's going to listen to our podcast and put us all on a hit list and murder us all in amazing
it
fashion.
It was a .org. So.
Either way, I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, good for you, Diggs, putting us on a kill list. Diggs, with that thought, what is your final
That's what my final thought was, that when I've been doing so much Kim Jong-un searching today and reaching out to him, I'm probably on a list.
He might be on a
maybe.
Not that I haven't been already.
Maybe he'd befriend you.
I wouldn't mind it.
Maybe America hates you now that you're trying to befriend Kim Jong-un.
No, America loves me.
I don't think so. I am, and my final thought is this. I'm very thankful for you guys in the studio here.
Appreciate
very thankful that we're doing this. Big fan of you guys. Diggs, I call you an idiot a lot, but I think you are doing an incredible job.
Thank you.
Nick, I love what you bring to the table, man.
Thanks, really, man.
Enjoy it. And Todd, you've changed the way ads should be read. On every radio show, you're an executor. You're staying behind from Vegas so you can hold down to Fort here and make things happen so we can be in our studio by June 1st. That's gigantic. You're the dad that none of us deserve. And we're very thankful for that. And Hoff, thank you so much for doing your magic.
Love it.
The reason why our podcasts get edited so quick in the turnaround, we can do three a week and not have to worry about it, is because Hoff is a magic man. Appreciate you. That Kim Jong-un thing was genius. Nick, you're 100% right. Today we're heading to Vegas.
Oh my God.
You believe in a God, pray that we make it. If you don't believe in a God, send us who you'd bet on whenever we're out there. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. This was the Pat McAfee Show.